one today, because we have the whole day, unlike when we're having up to lunch. We are here today for today. We are going to, we have an agenda in front of us. Can we have apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. We do have an apology from Dr. Hazen, who's in another committee meeting, and we also have an apology from the Minister, Butsimion. Okay. I think the department can table that one.
Thank you very much, Department. Are there any apologies from your side?
Chairperson, I think the only apology that I have is the apology from Minister Mthethwa, who requested me to stand in for him because of a family emergency in KwaZulu-Natal.
Those are the apologies, honourable members. Do we accept the apologies? Honourable Mokgosi is proposing that we accept the apologies. Honourable Zuletsi is supporting that. Thank you very much, honourable members. We have a long agenda. It's in two pages, unlike the agenda that we usually have when we are having half a day that has a few items. We have a longer agenda today. And I am proposing that we start our meeting with getting the briefing, the first quarter expenditure report, and then we look at the other matters thereafter, after we've seen the presentation from the department. Just to say that, honourable members, DM, we, as the portfolio committee, when someone joins us in the portfolio committee, we always give that person 10 out of 10. Kwakuthiwa ke sisenga abantwana ayitye yonke. We give all the marks, 10 out of 10, 100%. That's the attitude of the portfolio committee. And it's up to you to keep it at 100% or to subtract, because the manner in which you deal with us is going to subtract or keep it at that level. So we're hoping that DM and the new DG will keep it at 100%. There are issues that we've been bringing to the fore since 2014 when we came to the department. And those issues are still on the table. And we are hoping that you will ensure that some of the issues are dealt with decisively. Without wasting time, I'm going to give over to the department to give us the presentation. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I know how you feel where you are seated. I'm not going to take much of your time, because I have decided that I'm not going to read budget vote speeches here. I'm just going straight to what is expected from the department. Firstly, maybe I should also indicate that I will be here until lunchtime, as I still have to travel to Namibia. But Gigi is here with his team. I think all the project managers are here, I mean the branch managers, are here to respond or give information on any other thing that the committee and yourself, Chair, would like clarity on. We were here last week, where then the Minister gave a brief of what challenges and achievements we have in the department. Therefore, I'm not going to repeat what the minister said. Mine is just to say to you, the DG will then introduce his team and invite his team to do the presentation. Whatever then that you would like to get clarity on while I'm still here, I will try my best to assist. But I've decided that I'm not going to read speeches to you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, TM. But there's one thing that I think before, maybe I should say it now in case I don't have an opportunity. Something that we've been asking from the department since we first came here. We asked the department to give us their calendar of events. Is it really so difficult to come up with a calendar of events? I'm being asked by people now, where's the Heritage Day? I don't know. I don't know where it is. I say, I don't know. How can you not know? And you're the chairperson of the portfolio committee. And I say, I do not know. And it's a fact. And we've been asking for this since we came in, because we don't want to keep going back to the department and the Reconciliation Day, where is it going to be? And Human Rights Day, where are you going to have this? I mean, it's not acceptable at all. We've been asking for this, and we are hoping that now that both of you are here, we're going to get it. We've been asking for this, and the department, the officials are here. They can attest to this. So it would be really good to have this calendar of events that is telling us exactly where. And sometimes, DM, you are invited today to something that on Friday. And Parliament has its own processes. This is what we tell them. And I'm sure people are saying, we never see the Portfolio Committee in these events. It's because you are invited today when the event is tomorrow. So you can't see us. You cannot. Thank you. So this is one thing that I thought I should say to you before lunchtime, before you leave. I'll give over to you to hand over to the DG.
Can I then quickly respond and also commit to just what you have said with regard to the request for all their calendar events that you made request, but there were no response to that. And also last week you also indicated that even letters that have been sent to the department, most of the time there is no response to those letters. I had a meeting yesterday with the managers after your concern, after you raised your concern, and I indicated to them that the role of the portfolio committee, and should the department not be up to the task, it's obvious that the portfolio committee will face, because your agenda is driven by what is happening within the department. But what I can say to you, Chair, is from now onwards, each and every request that will be sent to the department, I told them yesterday that we will be meeting with them on a monthly basis so that I get all the correspondence, whether it's from yourself or it's from outside the government, so that at least to acknowledge the receipt of those letters or whatever that they will receive. But I promise you today that myself, DG, and the branch managers, they are going to do exactly what I have, but they are going to change some. And because once they don't do it, I'm not going to sit here and try and defend them. I'm going to tell you that this manager is not doing his or her work. That's why they know I'm very good in that one. So I really say to all the Pakistan group, by so saying is that I commit that from now onwards, I will make sure that whatever, unless Bangal Fish, as a letter, okay, but I will also keep in touch with the committee secretary so that whatever is being sent out, maybe get CCs to us, so that we try and assist you. We don't get frustrated because of us in the department. Thank you very much. DJ, okay, over to you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. And good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members in the House of the committee. We have a team of the DDGs who are here, including the experts that we have, and wherever we might need to provide based on the agenda, and if we need to provide any additional information. So I'm sure, Honorable Chair, that all the members of the department are known, unless you would like to introduce them one by one, and so that just for the record purposes, will that be fine?
Is the register that's circulating? Yeah.
Thank you. Now, Honorable Chair, on the first quarter report, we would like just to have the following comment first. That the report as presented today is the report that is not yet audited, Honorable Chair, and because of the challenges we had during the time of the transition from and the systems that had to be shut down when we were moving from the old building to the new building. It has been submitted to our internal audit for rigorous interrogation. And once that is done, we will then submit the report and the date as per the instruction of the Honorable Chair that everything must have timelines. We committed that we will, by end of September, have an audited report. So this report is subject to that particular process as we present today. The second issue, Honorable Chair, is that in the one of the key targets we had reported not achieved, and that target is in relation to 2 Izimbizos instead of 5. And that was simply based on the fact that the evidence was required before we submit and that it's achieved or not. That has subsequently happened, and therefore that target would be changed as we bring back the final report, and that is on slide 7, which indicates that Izimbizos, in fact, that were held were 7, not 2. And we have evidence of the outstanding 5 that was not included at that stage.
Good teaching. Izimbizo is in plural. So now the Izimbizos is something else. Thank you, Chair.
And the noted, Chair, we will stick to the appropriate, particularly the heritage, Mandan language is one of our critical languages that we must empower and make sure it's not diluted. We will make sure that we do that. And that is in a nutshell. And then if we move to then the next indicator, the purpose then will be just to provide the overview, and that will be Lola, I thought someone is driving the projector. The performance overview will provide, and then program-specific performance. We will then go into the presentation in relation to the annual performance plan and the targets of 17-18 quarter one. We will then have the CFO who will then talk to the expenditure as at the end of the first quarter, the 30th of June. Honorable Chair, we have 32 targets as a department. And of these targets, 84% of them, which translate to 27, are the targets that were achieved. However, as I had indicated earlier, that there will then be a change in relation to one of the targets of the Izimbizo, and therefore then the percentage will change. And then, of course, for now we report that 5 of these targets out of 32 were not achieved, and that translates to 16%. We will then be able to indicate that per program, that on administration, which includes corporate services, we have the, and as well as finance, we have the one target that was not achieved out of 8, and that translates to 86%. And then on institutional governance, we have one that was not achieved out of 11, translates to 91%. And then on arts, culture, promotion, and development, and two targets out of 8 were not achieved, and that translates to 75%. And then we have on program 4, heritage promotion and preservation, one target was not achieved, and it translates directly to 8% of what was achieved as against 20% not achieved. We then move to the next slide that talks to each program and each target and progress thereof. And I request that Mr. Ndima be the one who lead us in terms of that. And thereafter, I would request that Ubabumpoga Matlala then will take us through the presentation on the finances of the department. Can I then request Ms. Ndima to do so?
Thank you, DG. Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Honourable Members. Morning, Deputy Minister and the colleagues. I will go straight to the first branch, which is administration, where the performance indicator was about the revised white paper on arts, culture and heritage sector. The annual target there was the submission of the revised white paper to cabinet. So in terms of the first quarter, it was the costing and the report on the costing being submitted, and the progress that we've made thus far is that the report on costing was submitted by the reference panel during the first quarter. Then, of course, the number of national days publicized, and the reason why we're talking about publicizing here is because marketing and communication is located within this particular branch, and then they were able to do, in fact, the annual target is 7, but they were able to do the publicizing of the Freedom Day and Youth Day celebrations. And then the number of communication and marketing campaigns, the targets there is 3, but of course for the first quarter there was no requirement to report. Also with regards to the following one, which is the number of media relations and networking programs implemented, it's 2 annually, but it was not for reporting, as that you can see in blue. Then the ICT service uptime, which the target is 95%, it was indeed 95%, which was achieved during the quarter that we are talking about. And then in terms of the percentage of total value of procurement awarded to BBBEE compliant service providers, our target, annual target is 70%. And of course, we were able to even overachieve that by 87.46%. And the reason for that positive deviation is that more BBBEE compliant service providers were appointed. In terms of the percentage of payment made within 30 days, which is a big issue within government, here we had set our target, annual target, to 100%, and we have been able to achieve that 100% during the first quarter. 100% of invoices were received and paid within 30 days. And then in terms of the percentage of annual budget spent, our major target here is 100%. Of course, it was not for reporting because it's an annual target that we have put in there. Number of Izimbizo, I think I would skip this one given the fact that the DG has already spoken to it and explained the issue behind this particular target. Then the number of workplace skills plan reports generated, our annual target is 4, and for the first quarter it's 1, and we have workplace skills plan 2017-2018 and quarterly monitoring report submitted to PSITA. Then percentage of women employed at SMS annual target is 50%, but also in this case, it was not for reporting required. And then percentage of staff that are people with disabilities, our target is 2%. Also, we are not, we didn't set ourselves to report during this quarter. And then the percentage of vacancy rate, our annual target is at least 10%. The first quarter, 10%, the vacancy rate is 2.57, ending in June 27. That's where we were. Then coming to institutional governance, here the performance indicator that we're looking at is number of international engagements facilitated and coordinated. Of course, these are engagements that are designed to ensure that we promote our arts, culture, and heritage in the international platforms. And the annual target here is 12, and the first quarter target was 3. We have been able to achieve this, Honorable Chairperson. We facilitated DAC's support to South African Embassy in Rome with the provision of an art exhibition of the founding fathers of freedom in Italy on the 25th of May 2017. We also facilitated and coordinated the setting up of the pre-selection UNESCO International Fund for Cultural Diversity Committee that was meant to recommend applications to UNESCO on the 9th May 2017 in Pretoria. We also facilitated and coordinated the input towards the 6th ordinary session of the Conference of Parties in the Convention on the Protection and Promotion of the Diversity of Cultural Expressions in Paris on 10 to 15 June 2017. Also, the inaugural joint meeting of the people-to-people exchange mechanism between South Africa and the People's Republic of China was held in Pretoria from the 23rd to 27 April 2017. Now, coming to the number of Africa or Middle East engagements facilitated and coordinated, our annual target here is 8, and the first quarter target was 2, and we have been able to facilitate and coordinate an official visit to Mali to rekindle and resuscitate relations and prepare for the refurbishment of the Ahmed Baba building in Timbuktu on the 5th to the 7th of April 2017. I'm sure the members of the committee would also recall that this is one project that South Africa initiated, and unfortunately it has been a target of the rebels in Mali. So it was, in a way, vandalized, and we are now in the process of seeing to it that we actually restore it to its former self. Africa program, Africa Month program coordinated in May 2017. Yes, Africa Month indeed was a buzz with a number of programs that were designed to ensure that we popularize Pan-Africanism in South Africa. Number of arts and social development programs supported annually, it's 2, and it's not for reporting. Number of shareholder compacts signed with DAC public entities, this is what the minister does, Honorable Chairperson, to try and ensure that there is that alignment between what happens in the institutions and what's happening in the department. So we enter into these shareholder compacts. And we did achieve this because they were signed on 19 May 2017 at the Tong Museum in Pretoria. And the percentage of DAC public entities that are fully constituted, 100% councils constitute, excluding PENSAL, given the fact that there has been a pending case. Annual performance plan tabled in Parliament. 2018-2019 annual performance plan tabled in Parliament. It's not that's the annual target, not for reporting currently, and it's one of the things that it's because it's 2018-2019 that we'll be able to report when the time comes. DAC quarterly performance reports generated and submitted to National Treasury and DPME. Annually, and we're able to achieve this. 2016-2017 fourth quarter performance report generated and submitted to National Treasury and DPME, and the progress is preliminary fourth quarter report was submitted to the National Treasury and DPME on the 28th of April 2017. The final fourth quarter report was submitted on 31st July 2017. Approved DAC annual report tabled in Parliament. The annual target here is 2016-17, DAC annual report tabled in Parliament on or before 30 September. And then the first quarter target is 2016-17 DAC annual review report generated and submitted to the Auditor General. And the progress that we can report is that 2016-17 DAC annual review report was generated and submitted to the Auditor General on the 31st May 2017. Number of arts and youth development programs. These are programs that are designed to ensure that arts, culture and heritage is also placed within the youth sector within our society. It's three annually or per annum, and the first quarter target was one. And the youth development program, in terms of progress that we can register, is that your youth development program supported through the following projects. On 15 June 2017, a youth dialogue was held at Ching Community Hall, Extension 2 Ventersdorp, Northwest Province. Basha Uhuru Youth Festival in partnership with Constitution Hill on the 24th of June 2017 in Johannesburg. My History Educational Tour on 27 June 2017 in Gauteng. Number of young patriots supported, our annual target is 300, and then the first quarter target was 300, but the progress that has been made, unfortunately, is not, it doesn't constitute achievement, because only 267 young patriots were supported. The Western Cape was going to recruit their patriots in the second quarter. Number of arts education programs supported, annually it's one, no reporting required. Number of community conversation held, we have an annual target of 33, it's not for reporting as well. Number of moral regeneration movement programs, it's one, and also it's not for reporting. Number of national days commemorated, annually it's six. We can also then indicate that we were able to achieve this because the Freedom Day was held on 27 April 2017 at Manguze, KwaMhlabeyalingana in KwaZulu-Natal province. And then the National Youth Day was held on 16 June 2017 at Ventersdorp in the province of Northwest. The number of social cohesion advocates platforms created or supported. Our annual target is 20. And for the first quarter, we were targeting five. So five advocates for social cohesion platforms were held as follows. On 26 April 2017, a Freedom Day dialogue was held at Kwatembe Tribal Court at Manguze. It actually, it was on the eve of the Freedom Day celebrations. And on 19 May 27, an Africa Month speakers evening was held at the College of Law in UNISA, Pretoria, Gauteng province. On 15 June 2017, a youth dialogue was held, I mean, the same dialogue that I just reported about. And on 20 June 2017, at the Black Playhouse in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal province. On 29 June 2017, the International Day for Albinism was commemorated at the Freedom Park, Gauteng province. And the issue here was to ensure that people are being taught about albinism and the importance of the entire public of South Africa to respect albinism. Number of outcome 14 reports submitted to Cabinet as the coordinators of this outcome. We are mandated to report on a quarterly basis, and there are four quarter reports annually. And for the first quarter report, we have been able to report, we have been able to submit a report. And I must say also here, Chairperson and honorable members and the Deputy Minister, that we have actually been working very hard with all the partner departments on this. because at some stage we were looking at all these indicators and targets, and we were beginning to actually say, are these targets making an impact? And then we even got to a point where we revised these targets in order to begin to say what are the things that we need to look at as we deal with matters of social cohesion and nation building. And in fact, one of the studies that we then, I think it was a workshop where we emphasized the point that if we talk about social cohesion as some kind of a religion, we're not going to get anywhere. But we need to understand some of the things that are an antithesis to social cohesion. For instance, the socio-economic inequalities in our society. That it's one of the things that as long as you still have got this wide gap between the haves and have-nots, social cohesion might not be something that we will achieve in our lifetime. So there are so many other sectors that must come to the party to ensure that that kind of work happens. And then the UM approved, this is user asset management plan approved, which is more about the maintenance of buildings in our institutions. Now here the annual target is 2018-2019 DAC UM approved. It's not for reporting. Then going to arts and culture promotion and development, Honorable Chairperson, here we go straight to the number of flagship events supported financially, and here we have got a target of 20 annually, five for the first quarter, and then we have been able to, five flagship events have been financially supported. Number of public art projects supported financially, 20 per annum, it's not for reporting. The cultural and creative sector strategy is developed, it's three, but it was not for reporting in terms of the quarters. Number of cultural and creative sector projects supported financially through cultural events, open call. Also here we've got the number of 30 per annum, not for reporting. The living legends, legacy programs, supported financially is one, but it was not for reporting for this quarter. Number of projects promoting local content development supported financially, two per annum, but also it was not for the reporting in the first quarter. Then in the area within the branch, which is language, number of domains in which terminologies are developed. And I must also pause here to say that the languages that are being, the terminologies that are being developed here, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and the honorable members, is to ensure that we take African languages, it's an attempt to take African languages to a point where they can also be used for theorizing in science, for theorizing in economics, theorizing in social science. So the annual target here is four. Now, in terms of the first quarter, terminology is developed in four domains. There's 200 ICT terminologies, 100 financial terminologies, 200 pharmaceutical terminologies, and 100 engineering and construction terminologies. And I must say that these were achieved, Honorable Chairperson. Number of multi-year SLP projects supported financially. The annual target here is eight, and then the financial support to eight multi-year SLT projects, and we were able to achieve this because projects were supported, eight SLT projects were supported financially. Number of market access platforms supported, 13 annually, and then the quarter target, the first quarter target was three, and we have three market access platforms financially supported. Number of tolling ventures projects supported financially, here it's the 30, that's an annual target. It's not for reporting, it was not for reporting in the first quarter. The percentage of documents received, accepted, translated, and or edited. So that's the work that is actually being done by our National Services Unit in the department, in terms of the assist government department in terms of doing the translations. So 100% is the target for annual. It's an annual target. And then first quarter was 100%. And the progress that has been made thus far is that total of 119 documents translated, edited as per client specifications, representing 100% of accepted documents. number of research reports produced by cultural observatories. The annual target here is 27, and the first quarter target was 3. Unfortunately, we did not meet this one. Only 2 research reports produced by the South African Cultural Observatory. 1 research report outstanding due to the time constraints in procuring a service provider on time. The outstanding report will be completed by the end of the second quarter. Number of community arts projects supported. Here, in terms of the annual target, we're talking about 150, and in terms of the first quarter target, it was 15. Unfortunately, we couldn't make this one as well. Submission for community arts center programs was approved and grant letter sent to the beneficiaries. That's progress. We are awaiting compliance documentation from beneficiaries in order to conclude the contracting process and to effect payments. Then the number of community art centers refurbishment projects supported financially. The annual target is 15, it's not for reporting in the previous quarter. Number of artists placed in schools is 340 annual target, but also it's not for reporting. The number of bursaries awarded towards the development of qualified language practitioners, also we're looking at an annual target of 320, but it was not for reporting in the first quarter. Number of incubator projects financially supported. The annual target here is 14, and the first quarter target was 10, and 10 incubator projects financially supported. Number of training and development projects supported financially, we're looking at the target of annual target of 13, but it was not for reporting. Number of government gazettes on standardization of geographical names published, here the annual target is 3. It was not for reporting in the first quarter. For reporting in the first quarter, but I must say that 1 government gazette already on the standardization of geographical names was published on 30th June 2017. Number of living human treasures documented per annum. We're looking at the target of 18, but it's not for reporting. Number of reports generated on the heritage infrastructure projects being implemented. 4 reports are expected as part of the annual target. First quarter target was 1, and report on Sarabatma was generated. Due to ongoing dispute with IDT, there has not been progress with the legacy projects. The DAC has since entered into an agreement with the Development Department of Housing. Yes, thank you. For the completion of OR Tambo, JL, Dube, and Winnie Mandela House. Number of multi-year projects financially supported to modernize archives, it's 4 annual target, but not for reporting. Number of newly built and or modular libraries financially supported, 26 libraries for 2017-18 target. So we are, it's not for reporting, but it's very important to indicate that there are already new libraries that have been built in Gauteng. There are 2, it's Drizik and Kingsway, and Limpopo 2, Eldorado and Rooiberg, Northern Cape is 3, Askam, Kamasi's and Churchill, Western Cape, which is 1, upwards day. And then the number of library maintenance and or upgrading projects financially supported. We're looking at 4 in terms of what has been, it's not for reporting as well, but libraries upgraded is 1 in Western Cape, which is Conville. Then the legislative framework, South African Public Library and Information Services Bill developed. And then the annual target was socioeconomic impact assessment report on the South African Public Library and Information Services Bill. We want to have completed that process. It's not for reporting, but it's very important to say that socio-economic impact assessment on the South African Library and Information Services Bill is being conducted, and a report will be submitted to the department on the 31st of August. I think that has passed already. Number of heritage policies developed. Also here, the socio-economic impact assessment report on 2 heritage policies developed. That is the, and then it's not for reporting, but just to indicate that underwater cultural heritage policy, the stage 1 of the socioeconomic impact assessment submitted to DPME for consideration. Then the number of accepted disposal authorities issued, the annual target here is 12, and the target is 3 for the first quarter. 7 applications for disposal authority were accepted, and disposal authorities were issued. More applications were received than planned. Then the number of records management inspections conducted, the annual target was 12, and then the first quarter target was 3, and 3 records management inspections were conducted. Number of records management training courses provided, we are targeting 2 per annum, but no reporting required for the first quarter. And then the number of accepted file plans evaluated and approved, 8, that's an annual target. It's not for reporting, but one file plan was evaluated and one file plan was approved. Number of oral history projects implemented. The annual target is 3, and then the first quarter target is 1. 1 oral history training methodology implemented in Mtanda or Tambo district on 26 June to 1st July 2017. Then the number of national and international archives awareness initiatives implemented, the annual target is 3. We're able to, and then in terms of the quarter target, it is 2. And then we were able to have the National Archives Week on 8 May 2017 with the national launch in the Western Cape Archives, as well as International Archives Day, which was held at the Eskia Library on 9 June 2017. Then the number of flags installed in schools, we're looking at the annual target of 500. It's not for reporting. Number of national symbols toolkits distributed to district offices of the Department of Education. We're looking at 6,430, not also for reporting. Number of heritage bursaries awarded, it's 65. It's not for reporting in this quarter. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, and the Director General. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the presentation gives the information that we need to do our work. I just want clarity before we get to you, CFO. When you say that it's not for reporting, you've said it's not for reporting, and in some instances, not for reporting in this quarter. So can you explain to the committee what that means when you say it's not for reporting, and in some instances, in this quarter, it's confusing for me, and I think members of the portfolio committee would like to understand exactly when something is not for reporting and maybe not for reporting in this quarter. Because I think as the committee, what we had said from day one, you will remember this, is that even if you have a target for the year, there is work that has to be done to get to the target. So tell us what you are going to do to get to the 30 that you've set for yourself, because you set targets for yourself. But we want to get a sense of how you are doing and what you are doing to get to the point. But I think just the explanation on not for reporting and not for reporting in this quarter, maybe it's the same thing, but you didn't finish your sentence in some instances.
Before Mr. Ndima responds to this, maybe I should also indicate that when the report was represented to me yesterday, that's the concern that I raised, that when you say no reporting required, but you have set yourself an annual target, it doesn't make sense. They needed to give more explanation. And I'm sure that you will go page by page and give explanation as you did yesterday. For instance, in most of the no reporting required, I was informed that the report is for the second quarter and others is for the last quarter. Before then, you can ask questions maybe I needed also to indicate some of the areas that I identified as a challenge. For instance, page 17, when it comes to the number of bursaries awarded towards development of qualified language practitioners, 320, and the first quarter, nothing. But under the progress, transfer of funds to 6 universities completed. You see? So there is a transfer of funds. You can transfer funds if there is no work that has been done. And one of the things then that one needed from the department is also to identify the beneficiaries. Because the department is saying, Deputy Minister, we transfer so much to the University of Stellenbosch, so much to Rhodes, so much to that. It's good to transfer to that university. But sifuna ukwazi ngobani it beneficiaries. Because asifuna ukuzifumana sihlala sifumana ukuba abantu ababhenefitayo ngaba nobebhenefita namalunga. Therefore, they promise that they will come up with that a list of beneficiaries. And also, on the issue of there is a lot of no reporting required, but on the page 23, the number of flags installed in schools is 500. The number of national symbols, toolkits, blah blah blah, is 6,430. No report required. But you must remember, Chairperson, that we have the young patriots within the department that are being paid by NYDA. And the funding comes from us. We transfer the money to NYDA. NYDA is supposed to pay these young patriots. And their responsibility is to install this flex is going. Now I say to the department, I'm sure the portfolio committee will need more clarity. But if you say that you don't report, but there are funds that have been transferred to that institution, that means as guidance as part of the Zeloto, unless for the first quarter, you understand? Yeah. And we don't want a surprise, Chairperson, as I have discussed with the department, that we don't want to surprise that at the end of the financial year, we discover that nothing has been done. And then the department will say, but dear, we told you that in the first quarter we did nothing. You understand that? But in real sense, in most of the things that they said they've done nothing, there is a lot of work that they have already done. For instance, if they say that first quarter, there's nothing, no reporting required, but the second quarter, there is work done, they need then under the reason for division, whatever, the way they put it, explain that there is a work that has been done by the department. Mm-hmm. But because one of our focus is the first quarter, and also they didn't put the reasons so that you don't have to ask that question. So yesterday when I took the department through when they were making this to myself, I discovered that there is a lot of work that is done. But the way they put it here, it raised a lot of questions with department. One internal thing that I said that maybe we needed to do with them, I said, when after everything, for instance, there is a, what is this, 300 and 267 that we discussed yesterday, young patriots here, and they say that it's 300 target annually, and so far they have 267. So they are short of 33, and then they put it in red. I said, unfortunately, these reports, at the end, they go to the cluster. And this cluster send the reports to the cabinet. My figure about the cabinet, that rent is not rent. Because it rent is when you have done nothing. You see? So I said to the department, they said, no, this is audit committee. He said, so it's audit committee the way they're doing their things. Then one needs them to sit with the audit committee and say that where there is work done, at least it should indicate in Ember that something is happening there. Because when it's red, it means that it's dead. Nothing is happening. You understand? Yeah. So these are some of the things that you see a lot of risk, but when you listen to department, there is a lot of work that has been done. But I was not there, just I was just trying to explain, Chair Kuti, this no reporting required. We also picked that up. We needed more information in order for to make it life a committee is department. You need then to indicate to Kuti, this is what is being done. Instead of saying no reporting, if reports come in the third quarter or whatever, say that in the third quarter. That's just what I wanted to tell you, Chair, but they can take it through and indicate to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM. I was asking that question for parking, so that when you respond, and I think this DM has really assisted, and some of the things that you are saying, DM, I think that we've been saying since 2014. So we are really grateful that you are, in a way, part of our voice, because we've been saying some of these things. But Mr. Ndima, you'll just park that question, where we'll give a CFO an opportunity, and when we it's question time, you tell us what you mean about, and we will ask questions thereafter, and that's where you will start to explain to us. CFO.
Then, Honourable Chair and Honourable Deputy Minister and Honourable Members, the report in front of us is the expenditure report as at the end of June.
If there are any changes in your figures and how does it tell us while reporting, don't let us ask questions.
The report is the same as the report that was presented to the committee, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. There are no changes. So the first portion on the left shows you the actual expenditure compared to the annual budget. But as you know, in terms of the presentation, we want to see actually in the first 3 months what was we supposed to spend. So the columns on the right-hand side shows you the cash flow forecast for the first 3 months, which shows to the committee that 85% of the budgeted amount was utilized. If you look per program one, spend 76% of their allocated cash flow for that 3 months. Program 2, they spend 59%, and Program 3, 77%, and Program 4, 94%. In total, consolidated, the department spent 85% of the allocated budget. The second slide shows you the graphical overview of how the department spent in terms of each branch. So the branch can show that there's also that underspending in the first quarter. If we then go now to the schedule, which shows you the economic classification in terms of the spending patterns of the department, we can see that in terms of a compensation of employees, the department have overspent by 1%, which is about 601,000 rand. There is a slide where I give explanation of all these variances. The second one is the goods and services, where we are sitting at the 61%. Transfers for libraries, we are sitting at 100% spending. Departmental agencies, current transfers, we're sitting at 90%. However, capital transfers, we're sitting at 36%. On non-profit organization, the transfers there, the department, we are sitting at 68%. On capital, there was no spending for that particular quarter. On households, we were sitting at 50%. And public corporation current transfers, we were sitting at 94%, but on capital it was also zero spending. On foreign government and international organization, we are also sitting at 0%. And on the heritage asset there, you can see that the disbursement indicate the overspending of 18 million, which translates into 709%. On machinery and equipment, the department only spent 56,000, so we're sitting at 1%, whereas on building, the spending is zero, and I will explain that in relation to heritage asset later on the slide. On software and other tangibles, there was no spending, and then payment of financial asset, we are sitting there at 76,000. The next slide is also just a graphical overview of economic classification, where we can see the different patterns of spending on a graphical overview. But I'd like us to proceed to slide 30, where we start with the explanations. Honorable Chair, I already indicated that on the compensation of employees, the department overspent by 1%. This overspending is basically because of the salary payment to the due to the retention of the official of the previous deputy minister, which the contract were extended until end of June. So most of the staff were released after June, and as a result, the department will be able to avoid overspending on that particular line item, because it was also including contract workers. The next slide is your goods and services, where the department is sitting at 61%. Here, the reason for the underspending was the department, by the end of June, they were still waiting for the interdepartmental claim from the KZN Sports and Recreation for the hosting of the Freedom Day celebration. Here, the payment of the service provider also for the implementation of Youth Day was not yet done by the end of June, basically because their banking details were not verified. Furthermore, underspending was caused by the interdepartmental claim for Department of Public Works, where we are supposed to be paying for the lease payment, and DPW could not process the claim as they're still waiting for an exemption from National Treasury by that time. The next economic classification is talking to the library conditional grant. Here, the total 257 million was transferred and is translating to 100%. The spending of the province is outlined in the next slide, where we can see that the next slide, please, is 1.4 billion allocation pay for the year. But in terms of the cash flow, we're supposed to transfer 256 million, and we have done that. However, in terms of the report received from the provinces, by that time, they've only spent 162 million, which translates into 11%. The next item is the departmental agencies and accounts, where 432 million have been paid, and this is towards our public entities. The reason for the underspending was the memorandum of understanding for the 2017 and 18 financial year for the National Youth Development has not yet been finalized by the end of the quarter, and as a result, this amount of 7 million was not transferred to NYDA at that point in time. Also, there was an underpayment caused by the approval to advertise the Venture Capital Fund open calls for proposal by the National Empowerment was granted in after June, which you can see it was granted in July. So therefore, the transfer to NEF is therefore anticipated to be done by the end of August instead of the initial projection of April 2017. And this amount is NEF is allocated 30 million that was supposed to be transferred in August. If we go further to capital expenditure for departmental agencies, there we are sitting at the 13 million spending, which translates into 36%. The reason for the non-underspending is the non-compliance by entities in line with the infrastructure policy based on the spending trends of the 16 and 17 financial year of the fund transfer, and that resulted into major spending. If I can explain further here is that before transfer is made to the entities, we need an expenditure report of that particular infrastructure project to see if the money that has been transferred in the previous period, they have utilized all of the money. So before we can transfer, we wait for that. If they have not utilized it, we are unable to transfer. However, in order to assist the entities, the department infrastructure unit is hosting workshops with the entities to assist them with the challenges regarding the infrastructure project as an intervention prior to transferring the 2017 and 18 allocation. Next, we're looking at the non-profit institution where the current expenditure was sitting at 40 million, which is 68% was incurred at the end of June. The bulk of the transfers here was relating to the Africa Month Zanzi Golden Economy project. Here, mainly the underspending was caused by the standard chart of accounts re-implementation by National Treasury, which was delayed with the creation of MGE beneficiaries, which resulted in other payments not being processed on time. Here, just to explain further, is that when there is a new beneficiary, in the prior years, the department was able to create the beneficiaries ourselves on the system. But National Treasury, because they wanted to standardize the issue of new items on the general ledger, they are themselves doing that. And in the initial stage, there was a delay in creating this account. But at least for now, the problem is been resolved because there's a new turnaround time that they are adhering to of 7 days for opening new beneficiaries. On the non-profit institutional capital expenditure, you have seen in that slide that there was no expenditure incurred at the end of June. The outstanding amount was specifically for the Adams College, which we could not process as the revised completion date of the project was extended to end of December 2018. So the funds can only be transferred upon receipt of the progress report. On households, the spending is at 9 million, which was incurred at the end of June. The spending is transfer payment to universities for the language bursaries. As you've seen, that some of the bursaries have not yet been allocated, and the expenditure will catch up as soon as other bursaries are approved. On public corporations, we are sitting at 94% at the end of June, and the bulk of this was relating to the MGE funding also. On capital for the public corporation, there was no expenditure incurred at the end of June. So here the beneficiaries awarded grants for the upgrading of community health centers whose MOAs were finalized are non-profit organizations, and payments could not, therefore not be made to them as the budget is currently allocated under private enterprises. What the department we have done is that the firemen was requested in the process of the adjusted estimate of national expenditure to make provision for this payment. So the payment for the grant of these private enterprises will be made in August when the MOAs are finalized. On foreign government and international organization, There was no expenditure as at the 30th of June, and mainly is because the transfer of the African World Heritage Fund could not be processed in the first quarter as projected. The African World Heritage Fund had not submitted the final report relating to the previous year's funds that they have received. The next item is the heritage asset. Here, as I indicated, that the expenditure is 21 million, which translated into 709%. And basically, the reason for this overspending, we can say it is due to the Standard Chart of Accounts re-implementation by National Treasury. Because here the budget is sitting under building and infrastructure projects, but they introduced this new economic classification account called Heritage Asset. So in that item, there was no budget, and before you can actually put the budget under the deadline item, it also formed part of the fireman application that we have done to Treasury. And this will rectify itself as they approve the shifting of funds into the correct item. The next item is the payment for capital asset for machinery and equipment. Here, 56,000 was incurred at the end of June, and basically it's because the service provider has finalized the implementation of the new servers and storage in the first week of July. And furthermore, the department is still awaiting invoices from the company appointed to install the servers at the new building. On building and other fixtures, you can see that there was no expenditure incurred, but this is specifically for our heritage infrastructure budget that you see the actual spending in heritage asset, and our heritage asset relate to our legacy project, which falls under, the budget is sitting here, but the expenditure is happening under heritage asset. And we are rectifying that through the adjustment estimate budget. On software and other intangibles, there was no spending at the end of June, and this is in line with the projections. On payments of financial assets, here an amount of 76,000 was incurred, and the expenditure is in this line item relates to payment for hire car damages incurred by officials while on duty. The detailed report was also attached to indicate how this incident and how each incident caused the department. In overall, Honorable Chair, the department incurred an amount of 913 million, which is 85% versus the projected budget of 1.1 billion at the end of June. If we analyze in terms of the annual budget of 4.4 billion, the actual spending is 21% by the end of June of the annual budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. And I hope that the department has kept at the back of the mind the fact that the portfolio committee declared under expenditure as a crime from 2014. DG, DM, we declared under expenditure as a crime against society. So, and if you begin your financial year with underspending, catching up has proven to be difficult. That's what we are seeing, that if you don't spend according to your projection, at the end of the day, you will be found wanting. Honorable members, are there any questions? Honorable Masango?
Chair, thank you. A few things that I'd like to raise, but because I'm seeing the DM and the DG for the first time, I wasn't here last week. Greetings to you, Madam, it's welcome and wishing you well in this beautiful portfolio. Let me just start with the last matter that was raised. For record, something that we've always raised as a portfolio is that the department should try and keep their record as accurately possible as it, as accurately as it is possible. For instance, I just want to start with the last slide. If you go to the slide where slide number 41, CFO, or CC, Ungaifala, slide 41, just for the sake of us raising the matter. Yeah. You see that amount there, an amount of 76 rand.
Can we have you sitting here, Lulama, so that when people refer to a slide, you are here to reflect it?
An amount of 76 rand was incurred as at 30. Anyone who will read this amount, this thing, will think that you are very meticulous with your accounting, when in actual fact it's an error. 76 rand we can repay you now, and you don't have to report it. But that's not what it is. I need a CFO. Yeah, so your information must be accurate, because once the document is deposited with us, it's public document, and if you do not do thorough cleaning of your documentation, it becomes a problem. And just going back to what the chair has raised and the DM, as oversight body, there is nothing stopping us from asking questions, even on matters that are not being reported. And we expect of the department to have the information ready, because indeed, we are going to ask those questions. And some of them come out of both our reading of your documentation, but also because we do oversight and people raise issues, and we cannot postpone our engagement on the matters, because we would not have received sufficient clarity as we do oversight. I think one of the things that we have raised that when we do oversight, we actually are not accompanied by managers that are able to account for what happens. And I think it's one of the areas that the leadership of the department should be looking at. The page number 6, I just want to understand something, because the presenter, Uwabundima, said something which he referred to as positive deviation. It's obvious it does not appear in the document, but it is something that he referred to when he spoke about the BBBEE, that they have been able to achieve this true positive deviation. Now, deviation as a rule is not something that is unallowed or not allowed, but it is something that is being abused. And one would want to know as to, because when you do deviation amongst others, it means where you are supposed to be advertising, you go in a public tender, you go for your list to listen in that's part of your deviation, and it when you do some of the deviations, quotations, and you cut the thing into 5, where it is one and the same thing, and then you qualify it as positive deviation. We know that the deviation is a problem, and I'm just raising this thing as a statement, because what we have seen in departments, in entities, for instance, I don't know whether even in the department there is such, they use this deviation to do all the things that are wrong. And I think when we deal with your the what they call this process that will be coming from October. BRRR, we will actually be presenting evidence of those deviations. That's why we are a bit worried when you talk about positive deviation. It's nice, well said here, but it also has a propensity to be abused for other ends. And then just for my benefit, Timbuktu, refurbishment and whatever you. First of all, is this thing in our budget? And secondly, what measures do we use for procurement? I mean, Timbuktu is up there in Mali. When we have to do the things that you said we are planning to do, refurbishing of that area, or the heritage that has been affected here, what procurement measures do you follow? And now I'm going to ask questions on three matters that are not for reporting, because when we did our visit recently to Mpumalanga, we picked up that you had community art centers that the department had promised to pay them some monies, and they had not been paid. And some of them are very meager. I mean, one of the entities had asked for actually the same amount that the CFO was showing here, 76,000. And they have been waiting for more than a year or two. Jabu, it's a year, ne?
Yeah, but we haven't spoken
to every year. It's over a year. And you have those public entities or community art centers which are owed by the department, and they've not been paid for a long time. In Mpumalanga, there were three, and one would assume that were they three? I think three. I may be wrong, but we met one, but I know that the one that we met actually said there were other two that had not been paid, because they are communicating among themselves. So you have three entities that you are supposed to be paying an amount close to 100,000 rand, and they had not been paid. And then when you talk about leaving legacy, what are we talking about? Living legacy that you referred to in your presentation, that you've supported living legacy programs. Who are these people or individuals or whatever? Because whilst we were in Mpumalanga, we visited one whom we thought was part of the living legacy, but that person had not received any support, and I think he's been making an outcry to the department, both for the MGEs and what have you. No support at all. And I think members can best speak for that lady, because she engaged her quite extensively. Your open calls remains a concern, and we did make a request, and I don't know whether there's any improvement. Ikwana, chap. We had requested that when you do open calls, because we want to oversee this process, we are unhappy about it, DM. Because we don't see the open calls in papers, in local papers, in the media or wherever, because we were saying we know of entities that are deserving. And we had visited some of them in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga. We'll be going to others in Northern Cape and Northwest that we have come to know about. And we know that all of them, when we talk about them, they never see those open calls. And our recommendation was that let us also know, because none of the members here has ever seen an open call. Now, if members of this portfolio cannot come across an open call, who is seeing these open calls? And we said, let them send those details to Jabu so that we can use our networks in Parliament. I mean, we've got in excess of 400 constituency offices of all parties here that we could share with members of all parties in Parliament so that they can actually put those in our constituency to try and enhance that publicity. And nothing has happened to date. And with regards to your terminology development, I think we would need to have evidence of this thing, because if it was on your page 15, where you've been able to do about 200 ICT terminology developed, I think if you could share that with us so that we get to know what is happening, and all those things, financial terminologies and pharmaceutical, and which languages are we talking about here? Is it African language and da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of thing? We'll need to know as to want to get evidence of what we're talking about here. You've got living legacies, you've got living human treasures. What's the difference between the two? What is living human treasure? And then the other matter that I'd like to raise has to do with the agreement that you've made with the Department of Human Settlement, page 18. What is the Department of Human Settlement supposed to do? In other words, are you saying you've given them or you asked them to construct for you those houses? Well, they do RTP houses, naturally, Department of Human Settlement. And one wouldn't expect that you have asked them to help you with the construction of these buildings. I mean, I think we would like to get more information what is happening here. Because when you build a monument or these buildings would be, they are monuments. What do you call them? They are heritage sites. They are not, what do you call this building? Department of Asset, Human Settlement, do they have the requisite ability to build these things? Have they been conceptualized properly? Because our view, and I don't know what the department's view is, when you have to rebuild Winnie Mandela House, what does it mean? You're going to rebuild that house in what's that place again?
Brantford.
You're going to rebuild it as it is, as a heritage site. Is there no better conceptualization of this? Why I'm raising the better conceptualization? Look, in the run-up to the Democratic South Africa, year 2003, there was these negotiations at Kempton Park. It used to be called another name, that place. World Trade Center. It's a very historic event that brought about the democracy and the constitution that we have in this country. Now, if you drive in Johannesburg, you may not see it's our casino, ne? But what they have done, they have found a way of preserving the history and heritage of that momentum in South Africa in a very beautiful way, very artistic, for life within that building. So they have preserved the happenings, including that army truck that went into the World Trade Center, depicted and pictures on several walls within the casino. Now, that's beautiful preservation. And the reason perhaps why we have a problem in Brantford of vandalization, of Winnie Mandela's house used as a raping house, criminal house, is because we have not conceptualized this thing properly. we had used, find a creative way of, conceptualize a creative way of presenting Winnie Mandela House, where she was kept away from everything in Brantford on a house arrest, in a way that will actually depict the South African system. Because if we preserve a house, she doesn't stay in that house, she's not staying in that house anymore. It wasn't her house anyway. It was her prison. We should conceptualize that thing in a better way. House it in a house, for instance. A bigger house that tells a story, apartheid story of South Africa, resulting in a woman being imprisoned in this way. Now, but if this is because if you say human settlement, then it's definitely going to be a replacement of a house with an RTP. Unless if there's proper conceptualization. I'm saying if we want to preserve something, we don't necessarily should preserve it in its and what have you. We should find a way to make that thing, let it impose, let it tell a story. Let the person who's driving on the road see this thing, be attracted to it, go there, inside it, find Winnie Mandela House. You know, something like that? Then we are coming up some, invest in that thing, otherwise building it for 100,000 rand and then we still lost 3 million. Just something that doesn't add up. Because we still need accounting, HOD, as to how much was spent there as we speak now with the disputes that we're having. How much was spent at Jail Dube, how much was spent at OR, and what are the status? Because as a portfolio committee, we'll be visiting these places and we need enough information around them. I think the M spoke about the bursaries, and it would like to know as to who are these beneficiaries of these bursaries, the heritage, because we've seen very few Africans or blacks that are coming into that space. Now, on page 33, CFO, something that I am trying to understand, I need to be educated with this thing. Your plan, what was your plan when you talk about your 256 million that you have transferred and you are saying it's 18%. What was your original plan to transfer in this first quarter? Were you planning to transfer 18% or were you planning to transfer 25%? Now, if you have transferred 18%, and then expenditure is 11%, what should we read? Is the expenditure 11% of the transfer or the 11% of what was supposed to have been transferred? Were you supposed to transfer 18%? I mean, 18% is the original question, because my view would have been that your plan would have said by first quarter we'll transfer 25. We actually have not transferred what we intended to transfer. We have transferred below the number by 7%. And of those transferred, which is below the target, we only have spent 11. I think that clarity will be crucial so that we know it's sustained, because if we continue in this trend, come end of the financial year, we will not have met our target. And then And the other matter that I wanted to understand is on page 34, the last bullet, approval to advertise venture capital fund open call for proposal by the NEF was granted during the second week of July. And then you go on and say the transfer to the NEF is therefore anticipated to be made in August. Now, one would assume that because you are presenting this report today, it's already September, you cannot speak about what was meant to be done, but to say, indeed, that transfer has happened. It happened on this date. I think that's the thing that I would want you to say, not to talk about what was supposed to be happening, but now that it has passed, you should be in a position to say, we eventually did that, so that we are able to see whether it has happened in the August month as you had anticipated. But also this speaks to the question of planning. You know, if this thing was supposed to have happened in April, May, June, July, August, it's 6 months down the line. It speaks to the whole planning issue, which is problematic in government. Page number 36, the Adams College. What are we doing at Adams College? Just for my benefit. I already dealt with page 41 earlier on when I started my remarks. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Khulpo. Bilapulo thereafter.
Thank you, Chair. I will start on page 6 and I will not go over the same questions as my colleague has posed. The first one was with regard to the, if I look at the page 6, was the 95% of ICT service uptime. Now, I don't know, your annual target is 95%, and then you reach 95%. So, was achieved. So I do not quite understand that. The next one, 70% and 70%, that of course I it's very it's understood. There's no serious problem there. But it's difficulty to understand when you budget or when you plan to achieve 95% and then you achieve 95%. The on page 9, you said your council of DC public entities that are fully constituted is 100%, excluding PANSALP. If PANSALP is excluded, that means then you have not achieved 100%, because PANSALP is part of it, or do I read it incorrectly? If you go over to your slide on page 10, the third bullet, number of youth arts and youth development programs supported. Your annual target is 3, first quarter target is 1. Your progress, if you go through your progress and you find you have achieved 3, or was the reporting different there? Because you said on 13 June the youth dialogue was held. B, Bashuhuru Youth Festival Partnership, and C, My History Education. There are 3. I read 3, and unless I misunderstand what you were trying to convey there. My colleague has asked a question around Timbuktu. Now, that is not a problem. Now, The minister, I don't know if the minister did allude to this one, but I was just wondering, are we taking over projects that is supposed to be done by the African Union, or DIRCO, or SADC, or does the mandate come from the ministry specific to engage in this, how is the rest of Africa involved in this? And a question that is tied to that one is, have the cost of this project, I don't see them reflected here, and I don't see it reflected, it was not reflected in Treasury, from the budget in Treasury, it's not reflected there. So I was just wondering what is or will be the cost of that project. Now, one of the omissions that I pick up in the report, if you look at page slide 15, the number of market access platforms supported financially. Target is 13, 3. 3 market access platform financially supported. Now, as my colleague has said, that in your BRRR report, you'll have to name which three, because this has not been mentioned here in these slides, to say one was in Kimberley and one was in Free State or wherever the case may be, because there's no specifics indicated there. And the same would happen on slide 17, when you say 10 incubator projects financially supported, which 10, or where are these 10 incubator projects situated? It will go the same for the universities. You have transferred money to 6 universities. Which universities? Because it, I know this is maybe just a cryptic report, but it should really give us names in respect of what you have achieved and what you hope to achieve within the set time. I also had a look in terms of your achievement of 21%. Now, if you look at your heritage asset where it is shown as you 709%, but maybe I'm wrong there. 709 gives you an average of 85%. But if that has been corrected, as the CFO has indicated, it will therefore mean that it will not be 709% over expenditure. It will then be less, which will bring the average lower. But then again, I said I could be wrong in that respect. On page 38, again, the same question. Second bullet, beneficiaries were awarded grants for the upgrading of community art centers whose MOAs are finalized, are non-profit organizations, etc., etc. But then again, the question would be, which of these? Then one last question is, the one with reference to that's on slide, sorry, I have to go back, slide 18. Now, last week, the IDT was here. And then I had an impression that you are currently working on the relationship with the IDT to complete the outstanding or the forensics report, whatever the case may be. But here, the impression, it seems to me, you are talking cross purposes here. The arrangement with IDT has been terminated. Last week I didn't get that impression, but here again, while everything is going on, forensic reports, etc., ongoing disputes, but you have already entered into new agreements. Due to ongoing dispute with IDT, there has not been progress with the legacy projects. DHS has since entered into an agreement with DHS for the completion of those houses, the Owar Tambo, Jayon Dobe, and the Winnie Mandela House. Now, I need to understand, is now Department of Human Settlement off, or is IDT totally out? And the problem, as you indicated, was the non-payment. That's where the dispute arose with the service providers. Who was not paying who? Because every time it's non-payment, was IDT not paying the service providers because they did not do their work properly? Or did the department not pay IDT so the IDT could pay the service providers? So that to me has been unclear. And that's why it will bring me back in the end to the Enyo Kenny, but that is still going to be presented. I will watch that closely when it hits the floor again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Khoswam. Honourable Pilango.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to check on the issue that the DM has stated. He indicated that yesterday they did have a meeting as a department. And in that meeting, he picked up some of the gaps that are there. But my question is, after having that meeting, finding that there are gaps or there are mistakes or some of the indicators, the ones that are saying non-reporting required, after the DM trying to get an explanation out of it, why the department didn't went back and correct the report before they bring the report today to the portfolio committee? Even the mistake that has picked up by Honorable Mahlangu, I think after having that sitting, they should have seen also that one, that is a mistake, and they correct it. Or failing to correct it, the person who was presenting today should have indicated to say there is a mistake. We sent the report, but thereafter we did find out that there are mistakes and we corrected them. Then that person indicated them in front of us before. But it seems as if they didn't take it into consideration that they need to explain. But now we are dealing with the issues that has been found out previously. To me, really, we're just wasting time here. If really we are serious on doing things or giving the quality report, that thing should have been changed. Not waiting for the portfolio committee to tell you that this is wrong. Meanwhile, the DM has already indicated. On page 6, let me commend you on paying the on payment made within 30 days as per mandate. On page 7, I just want to check on the number of imbizos held. You said the annual target is 20. What makes the department to come up with that number? And how is the department going to divide that number, taking into consideration the number of provinces that we have in our country? Or that number, the 20 that you indicated there as an annual target, are you saying that you have specifically said you are going to look into these provinces for this particular financial year, therefore the others you will go for the next coming financial year, or what? The other thing on that page 7 is the percentage of vacancy rate. In the first quarter, you indicated 10%, which is there in the annual, which is there as the annual target. Can you briefly explain to us the percentage as we speak? And then going to page 14, there is this one, number of living legend legacy programs supported financially. You said your annual target is 1. Also, that one, I just want to understand, when you say 1, how are you going to... I don't understand when you're talking about 1. Is the activity going to happen at the national level, or how are you going to deal with it? Even the last one, the number of projects promoting local content development supported financially, you said 2. Why this target? To me, 2 is a very low or little number. And why this little number? I think the reporting issue you we'll talk about it since the chairperson also did ask about it. On page 18, the last one there, number of reports generated on the heritage infrastructure project being implemented. You said annual target is 4, first quarter target is 1, but progress is rate. What does that mean? Because to me, I will take it for granted that if it's 4 and you achieved 1 on the first quarter, it means you are on, you have achieved the target. Can we be clarified on that one? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dilankulu. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may start. Now, this area is very, very, a lot of terms around here are very dangerous. Now, if I must, on page 6, I just want to, what my colleague said, and it's so important that paying 30 days. I know, I want to repeat it. We had, as members of parliament, so many complaints from small businesses, small people. And I know the president and the cabinet said more than once. And very few departments do it, and I really hope this is the correct version here. Because I know how many that went bankrupt after they had some program that they helped the government, they hoped they got the tender, and then just because people don't pay. So I really want to underline it and say it's so important, and please keep to that in the one sense. That's on page 6. Then on page 9, of course I would react to page 9 is the whole question of the Timbuktu project. Now, if you know that being a Mbeki project, coming in those areas, a lot of idealism and Africa Renaissance and all those things. And we went up there and we spent money when it was going well in South Africa with a lot of money around here. Now we're in trouble in a sense, economic-wise. And I would just say that they say refurbish the building. I'm not aware about the security situation up there, but surely that must be part of whatever report you get back. Is it still safe? Are we going to spend a lot of money there and then lose it again and again because there's still a civil war going on, there's still a lot of activity around there. So I just want to make sure that we don't keep on spending money on a lot of idealism in an area that we don't have control over the security and we lose it every time because that's what happened the previous time. Then on page 15, on the terminologies developed, of course I like it a lot. The course I think is very important. And we spoke about language in the past and that we must help these different languages. Technically it spans up, but must do these type of things and focus on it all the time to develop new terminologies, because the easy way is always to just to steal from another language, to take the Afrikaans word over, or to take the English word over, and then in the end you become more and more Afrikaans and less isiZulu Zulu or whatever. What I do not but be sure about, once you've done it, sure there must be given some publicity to that, or make it known. I know there's some isiZulu Zulu newspapers, I'm not sure, do they know about this? Do they start using these words or not? Otherwise, it's sort of ivory tower work that you're doing. If I may talk from the Afrikaans perspective, the word scooter is the English word that we took over. Then it was developed bromponi, and now bromponi is being used. And that is quite important because they just took over the English word, scooter. Poor pony that room. Or even the underground train. In Afrikaans, we developed mole train, and it's now being used because, as once you say, it's a train like a mole. And that's the type of thing that you can do in your own languages, and if the word is smart, people will take it over and will like to use it in a certain sense, and that keeps the language going forward. And then my fourth point, last one, is on page 36 about the transfer to the entities. I'm not exactly sure if it's total transfer, how it works, I'm not sure about that. But I do have a problem in specific in Pretoria, and I did ask a question about that as well. You know, when we visited the entities, and I would like, it's not to my to invite the minister or the new DG, but I really think in this department you cannot really understand and handle it if you haven't visited the entities, because I said 70-80% of the money goes there. And everyone is different, and everyone's got his own problems, and it's not easy to sit on headquarters, whatever, and money here and money there, or no money here, or punish this one. You must be there, you must see what they're doing, reward them, or whatever. Now, when we visited Pretoria, for example, at the Ditsong Museums, they were all trying to increase the income. And that's important because a museum or some of those areas can have his own income, making it less problematic for that taxpayers or parliament to give the money. Now, one of them is that Pioneer Museum area in Pretoria, and they had a Boeremark on Saturday mornings from 8 till 1 o'clock. The Boeremark people don't disturb anything else. The educational part of that area, we were there, we saw it. The children come in from Monday to Friday, visit it and learn a lot of things about the old days and that type of thing. But they don't disturb anybody on a Saturday. It's only for that 4 hours from 8 to 1 o'clock. And they got about 300,000 a year money being paid by the Boeremark people to the Ditsong Museum, and that's important for us to get that money to help run it. Now this year, if my information is correct, and of course they complained to me, they said they had to tender again. It's a very complicated process. There were some irregularities. They had to do it again. And then finally, some other entity got the tender, not the Boeremark anymore. So they had to accept that, and they moved out now to a new area. It's very difficult for them, new area, new publicity. But then when I checked on the new entity, he doesn't use it. He doesn't pay anymore. I'm not sure what went wrong there. So we're losing that 300,000 and not getting any information more. I'm not sure about the new entity, why they don't use the terrain. They got the tender, why don't they pay? Because it's a stupid sort of situation, getting rid of the one and not replacing it with someone else getting the same amount of money in. So if maybe the department just check for me, otherwise I'll have to ask the minister again. What's going on there exactly? Why are we losing 300,000 a year? And I don't think we paid any big price having Saturday mornings using them in a sense. And then my last baby project, it will be always the War Museum in Bloemfontein. And as I said, I would like to invite the minister to go there, hopefully with me, and I'll explain to her what's going on there, but if ever that's possible. Now, my problem sometimes with the entities is that we seem to reward entities that do not deliver or do not achieve their goals, if I look at some of the amounts. And we punish entities that deliver and do achieve goals. And my impression, and I'm speaking on my own behalf, is that this War Museum really tried to achieve and to transform and to do their thing. And then they ask for some more money, even on just on the baseline. If you compare them to some of the other entities, the amount they get per personnel, the amount they get per project is much lower than some of the others. And it may be historical, and they ask for more. And it did not happen as far as I know. They even have got some project there, a dream about a community center that they want to build, I think is between 2 to 15 million. So I'm just pleading with the CFO or whatever, at the new DG, maybe they can just look at that area and do something and help them in a certain sense, because I think they're doing a good job. And I don't want to compare them with Inyokokeni. Inyokeni, that's my pronunciation, Flandre. And at the 44 million, you know the argument will get to that. I think they asked about 2 million to 15 million. Maybe get me quiet and give the money, and I won't bother you again with the other one. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think a lot of questions that I had have been asked, but there is one or so or two questions. The first one from me is the department is transferring 80% of its budget to entities, and it is left with 20%. And now it seems that the department is transferring the 20% that is left, because you have now a lot of people that are doing your work. What are you being paid to do? That's the question that I'm having. If now from the 20%, you're transferring to NEF, you're transferring to so-and-so, you're transferring to all the... Can you explain this? Are you really not going to be redundant at the end of the day and not have anything to do and just be paid, full stop, and not do any work? Because you are transferring from the 20% now, you're still giving money to other people. Can you make us understand what's going on? Do you want to close down the department and let other people do the work that is done in the department? Because, truly speaking, the 80% was too much for us. We're saying, 80% going out. What are they doing? But okay, well, 20%. But now they are transferring the 20%, honorable members. They are transferring the 20% to other people that are not even their entities. So can you explain this to the portfolio committee? And one other thing, I think the DM said a lot about the bursaries, and Honorable JL also asked questions. But I want to understand how you plan as the department, your planning. Like, you have your financial year. Schools have their school year. And these are not aligned, you know? But how do you plan as the department? Because I believe that you would plan in such a way that you won't be talking about paying bursaries at the end of the school year, because now we're coming to the end of the school year. It's your first, you are reporting on your first quarter of your government financial year. But don't you think that you need to think about this and see how you can be able to pay the university? But you don't pay it at the end of its working year, because your year ends in March. It's not fair to let people do their work without you paying them for that service. Neighbor? Neighbor, look at that. Does it make sense? That is saying that you pay, they start doing their work, go January, born, and you pay them in August, if you do pay them in August. So don't you think that in your planning, you need to think about this? And it means you're not paying people 30 days after the service has been rendered. So think about it. Think about it. I think you need to think about that. And the other question, yes, it's this issue of transferring money from 40 million being transferred to whoever for the Africa Month, 30 million being transferred to... Can you tell us about this thing? Are you outsourcing the work that you are supposed to do? And what are you doing? What are you going to do if all your work is out there? So I think those are the questions that I have. Some of them have been asked, some of the questions that I had. Can you get responses from the department?
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I give to the department to respond on most of the questions that you raised, I just want to comment on one or two of the questions that has been asked by members of Parliament. Yes, indeed, Honourable Mulder, I'm always available. Yeah, you can invite me to. I'm always available. Yeah. Chair, I just want to make a joke that I made to them yesterday. I said to them, just a month after my redeployment, I met with the new Minister of Finance at the airport. And then he said to me, Deputy Minister, so how do you feel now that you are controlling 4 billion and you used to control 90 billion? You understand, yeah. And I said to him, it's too early to say how do I feel, but I'm not worried about 4 billion is nothing. I used to control 90 billion. Why I'm mentioning this is that I discovered now that controlling 4 billion is more difficult than controlling 90 billion. You understand, yeah. Because of the entities that we, in my previous life, we had only 4 entities. And here we have more than 28 or 28 entities, yeah. I'm happy to hear that the white paper is addressing that, if it's true, but that's what I was told. And also on the issue of the honourable member who raised the issue, those gaps that one picked up yesterday. I remember I asked the department, did you submit the report to the portfolio committee?
And the response was yes. Of course, I was expecting them to say yes, because you can't come up with a report today and expect the portfolio committee then to discuss that report today. So all the corrections that they did, I was expecting the presenters did, that they will say that this, for instance, to make an example about the 76 rand, I was expecting you, CFO, to say that it's not 76 rand, it's 76,000, as we have discussed this. They was just making an example. Chair, I have a request to ask. Please. The issue of the Winnie Mandela House. The first time when I became aware of that is when it was on the media. And I took a trip to Brandfort. After coming back from the site, I called all the stakeholders, the province, the department. Some of them, it was for the first time that I interacted with them, yeah. And also, I happened then to meet not on a meeting, but in a way of passing with some of the IGT personnel, and then I think it was a CEO or someone else who said to me, DM, can I make an appointment with you? It's a month ago, so that we can also come with our own story. Because we're hearing all these things about us and what and have you. And then I advised him and said that we have established a task team. That is the province and all the affected stakeholders like your IDT and everyone. So that they should sit down and come up with a report. And that kind of report must first come here before we see an opinion. For instance, you spoke about the monies that were spent with regard to this Winnie Mandela House, and who paid who, the department paid, public works paid IDT. IDT was supposed to have paid the construction, and the contractor had a problem with IDT. You know, it's a very long, confusing thing. But as we speak, I requested a week ago, Evan, who is responsible for those projects, to report to myself what is the task team doing. And he told me this morning that he's got the report with him. So I want to plead with the committee that can I first see that report, go through the report, because I have also concerns like yourself. And then from there, we can come with the report and bring it yourself. So that single pin will land out piece by piece and get reported. Can I plead for that? Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And also, with regard to what Honorable Mothers raised, I think one thing that I also discussed with the department that I don't know whether we have or not is the issue of monitoring. Because it seems as if some of the entities, as the Badalayo, we don't monitor what was the money used for what it was intended for. So that when we are here and we say that we don't pay this small business, what are the reasons? For instance, the issues that you raised, one member raised, I can't remember who, about Art Center, who have requested sponsorship or assistance from the department. Others were even saying to me in my interview that I had last time that they don't even get an acknowledgement letter saying that Sifumene is requested. So I raised that thing with the department yesterday. We sat with them yesterday. I said, let us at least we must say to our people that we need to sponsor that we received your request and see a jong. And secondly, one of the things that I also raised with them, Kukuti, you will discover that they say that some of them don't meet the requirements. But the question then is, do they know what requirements are those? And then I said, maybe it will be good for us as a department to come up with a mechanism instead of just rejecting them. come up with a way of assisting them on how to access this fund. In order for them to be able to access the funding. Then we have agreed yesterday that they are going to do that, because in each and every mbizo that we have, people will come with a small and a page and say that this is what I requested from the department, and there was never a response. Others would say that, I remember one that I went to in Zoletemba, and they said 84,000 was approved last year in September, and this is now May. We haven't received that, you see. And I had then to go to the responsible branch manager and say that, but what is happening? Why didn't you give these people 84,000? You understand? No, DM, I see where I get that 84,000. You understand? But now it worries me to see that there are some underspending. And then the manager will say, I will see where I will get that 84,000. And within a week, 84,000 was paid. And then I said to the manager, then we can't wait for the people to complain. And then we pay them. If there is a problem, Yoguti, here we needed to do this and here we needed to do that, let us assist them and make sure Yoguti, they know what is it that we expected from them. And we help them. And so that there is a lot of them. It's a lot of them that has got the same problem. But I think from yesterday's meeting that I had with the managers, things will change, because I'll have to monitor Lo Erogbon Uguti. Who have everything as money. Let them go to where they're most needed, but let us assist them. What is it that they needed to do? So I just wanted to clarify that we are aware of that, and then I did discuss with the managers, and then they will have to pay attention to that. So that next time when we come here, and then there will be something positive from them. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, DM. Can we have other responses? But I think it's really, what you are saying is very important. This is what we've been saying to the department. You are not in a position to fund everybody. Everybody wants money. And you are not in that position. But to tell people the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Just to say, because of one, two, and communicate with people. Because what they do now, is they write to me. And I said to the minister, give me half the salary of your officials because I'm doing half their work. Because they write to me, I have to write to the department, I have to call people, I have to do all this. But if the department can just communicate with people out there, the people are actually pining for that, communication. And sometimes communication is all they need. We can have responses.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair, and the Honorable Members on the question. Maybe at a broader level, the colleagues will deal with the details. Chairperson, we have engaged with the team, as DM has indicated, and there were areas that we identified as areas for strengthening, which we're going to be working on. One, on the issue of project management issue and policy frameworks that need to be clear about criteria when you're dealing with the funding methods, because you can't fund without having a very well-known, communicated and understood criteria, so that when you reject as you base that on your criteria. Why are you rejecting? Why are you accepting? And then there was a policy referred to by the CFO that does guide the funding approach by the department on the different entities like the grant in aid. So we just agree that we need to make sure that such policy is popularized, is well known, and that it forms the basis on how we're going to be able to then continue with the funding. But it must be a clear criteria. But there were issues also in terms of capacity to monitor within the department that we identified and in relation to these big projects. And this capacity cannot just be monitoring, but we also need skills. people who will understand what do they mean when they go and visit a site and not watch it and look and say the buildings are fine and the next thing, as Honorable Mkhlang had said, this thing then dilapidates after we invested 100,000 rand. You don't know what to happen. So we agree that we need to look into that area because it is a very weak area. In fact, around this area, they have about three officials who we can say are dealing with infrastructure, and net projects are quite huge. And you cannot have monitoring and payments that are done, and you don't know what the money is used for. So strengthening this area of monitoring, but also the issue of skills, how are we going to source these skills in the light of the budgetary constraints is what we need to really look into. So the team will be able to respond to some of the key direct questions. But on the, as we requested, Chair, Honorable Benkulu was raising the issue of corrections. We will make these corrections, and because I did engage with the team, they do have the details, and because all this work must be supported by evidence. If you're saying you've given three entities money, you must be able to say who are those entities. So when we submit, I think, the report, we will then provide as annexures, maybe wherever we have indicated, so that you know exactly who benefited on what. And that will then assist us as we submit the audited report by the internal audit team. And maybe on the issue of the unpaid entities or institutions that have approached honorable members, maybe if through secretariat, honorable member, we can get the list of those names that we can follow up, like those in Mpumalanga, they indicated that it's about three. Then if we've got such detail or names, we can be able to follow up with them directly. So wherever honorable members might have those, we will appreciate being provided with that detail. We will then approach them and assist in that regard. I think then the colleagues will respond directly outside of a broader approach that we intend to do as a team to the specific questions that have been I'm not sure whether I will start with Mr. Ndima, and then other colleagues who are here, please do provide that support where you are a specialist in your area. Thank you.
Yes, I think they know that while taking questions, a person will take questions that are relevant to him or her. But just to say that what we do, when we do oversight, we form from that place to say, there is this problem here, and even the names have been provided to the department. So, Tina, we do that. We phone Monica while she was there, is here. She knows that we would call her at the site to say, we have people here who have these complaints. What are you saying? What do we tell the people? That's how we do oversight, because we are about the people and what people need to hear and know. So we have provided that information.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members of the Committee, DG. Let me start with some of the issues that have been raised by Honorable Members, and of course, colleagues are going to come in terms of the specific areas of work. There is a point that was raised by Honorable Mkhlang on positive deviation, which maybe maybe it's my fault that I did not put it in a much more crisp and comprehensive way, because in this case I was not talking about deviation in the sense of, you know, deviating from the financial policies. But I was saying that we have deviated from what we said we were going to achieve. But I said it was positive because we had said we were going to achieve 70%. But we then got 80-something percent. So it is a deviation from what was expected. It was not a question of deviating, you know, where you are deviating from the procurement processes where you are supposed to have tender processes and you don't actually do those tender processes. So I think that let me just explain that, Honorable Mahlangu. You're right, Honorable Mahlangu. The Timbuktu money is not with us. It is with the African Renaissance. What do you call it? The African Renaissance, which is in the DECO. So they have actually allocated to us that 10 million to go and do those interventions. So we have not, what we did, I think in April we went just to go and look at the sense of where things are. In fact, this also begins to answer Honorable Mulder, whether it is safe going there. And in fact, when we went there, we went to Bamako. And then for us to move from Bamako to Timbuktu, we were taken by the military aircraft. Very dangerous adventure, I must say. Flew to Timbuktu, and then we went just to look at the state of the building and all those. When we came back from Timbuktu to Bamako, in our military aircraft, casualties flying back with us now because they had been shot somewhere else close to Timbuktu. So, yes, I'm just trying to explain that in fact it was a very scary and very traumatic experience to be in a plane with people who are injured from the war zone. So,
and we might miss you and then we lose you, you see.
And I was always playing about this to say they could have shot, because, I mean, for them, to shoot the military aircraft, it's a serious achievement. Now, when they found out that there was a Ndima who is no, a nobody, it was going to be very late that, you know. So we are very careful about it. In fact, when we went there, we even agreed that when we go back, we should be very careful about going to Timbuktu until such time that we're clear what's going on there. We could have our meetings in Bamako. So, the money is with an African Renaissance Fund. It has not been touched. And in terms of the procurement, we are going to embark upon that process of doing the procurement, where we might then just be compelled to, what we must be compelled, we might be compelled to do in a very small way, is the initial engineer who was actually doing this work, we might then request that person to then assist us in the just preliminary phases, but the procurement processes that are going to be followed will be above board. I think the issues of terminology, I will also leave it to colleagues, language. The living human treasures and the living legends. Maybe let me start by saying that there is a living, in terms of the intangible cultural heritage policy, or living heritage policy, which is talking about the intangible aspects of heritage, your oral histories, oral traditions, music, indigenous knowledge. It calls for the identification of living human treasures. And those living human treasures, they're not being determined by age. So even if you are young, but if you have got this excellent, magnificent talent, that we need to ensure that we record it and it gets recognized. We do it. But I just think also there was now this kind of pressure that there are now people who are living legends. Now, that's where I just see they begin to differentiate. Is the people who have been in the sector for a very long time, I mean, at the age of 70 going forward, the living legends project was just looking at those and saying, these are the people that have been in music, they have been in theater, they have been in storytelling. Let's start in the process of identifying them. But you're not just identifying them for the sake of doing, of having a database, but we also want to immediately utilize them in the form of master classes, where they go and transmit the knowledge that they have and the expertise that they have to the young ones, so that when they exit the space, at least there is documentation that has actually taken place. So that's a very slight difference. They're not that different, but the only thing is that the living human treasures, in terms of the policy, international policy and the national policy, is you are looking at everybody, irrespective of age. This one is more of a saying, let's now deal with, because these people might be leaving us, so let's catch whatever we can. Let's ensure that they pass on this information so that we don't lose it.
When we embarked on our last oversight visit, we went to this person who can live. We mustn't say this thing, life. But we went to this woman who is, in our view, a living legend. Very old. Well, she will be going, but she did say, if I go, it will be sad because I would have wanted to impart this knowledge to young people. I have used my monies to try and do what I can without any help from government. Esther Mahlangu is her surname, or her name and surname. She's the one who did the BMW, which is in Germany, the current 7 Series BMW interior, techies, and also, I wish that the DM must visit her. I like the fact that you are hands-on. You know, that's why I like shorter people. Apologies to the taller individuals. Fortunately, we don't have them here. Okay, keep the chairperson out, keep the chairperson out. No. I would wish that the DM visits that lady so that you have an appreciation of what she is trying to do and trying to transfer to a younger generation. We were there with the members, and we left that place very concerned that if this lady were to go, it would be a great loss to this country. And we will have ourselves as a portfolio for arts and culture and the department to blame for failing to ensure that this heritage is transferred to the future generations. Because the work that she's doing, even universities use it to teach in the subject of maths, but I'm not a maths person, I didn't do maths. I tried it, but I had a problem with my teacher. Is it algebra or geometry? One of the, not geography. Okay. Yes. Universities use it to do the maths, the whatever, Lama Corner Lama. But I wish the deputy minister go there earlier. Listen to that lady, what she is trying to do, and see. And it doesn't cost much because she's done these things on her own. I don't think it costs much for the department to enhance this heritage transferred to the young people. All she needs is really to be assisted with these four walls. And I think sleeping arrangement for these juniors so that she trains them whenever they come. Because if they have to come, she pays for their coming. She pays for the training, she pays for the accommodation, because she feels she must impart this knowledge. And, I mean, they were talking about the Mzansi Golden Economy. No. They were telling us about it. We thought that Mzansi Golden Economy would be the best vehicle to help us achieve this. I mean, but the sad part now, Minister, that I'm coming to is, when we went there, we had no official from the department. Because the response we got was that, no, but this has got nothing to do with us. It's none of our project. What is the business of DEC? Because we don't believe that DEC should be occupied with
areas where they have paid money, that should be preoccupied with arts and culture. Whether, and that's why when a musician dies, even when you have not spent a cent on him, the minister will be there to bury. I mean, there was a criticism not long ago, which was the minister arrives on artists that have died overnight, but the department is not there to make those artists what they are. So the department is opportunistic in a way. So I would appreciate if the DM can pay that visit. We had requested the minister to go to Matsamo, and I hope that the minister will honor that one. Matsamo is one area border where border Swaziland and South Africa. Right at the border, you must just go to the border. And you can ask from the officials that are vacating Matsamo. Yeah. And just go there with the officials of the department. I wish that you go South Africa and Swaziland via Maleland. I wish that the DM goes there with the officials of the department so that they know GP's risk. What the department has failed to support. What the department has failed to support, which the world appreciates. Tourists of the world descend there, and they actually sponsor some of the young stars, all of them young, but 50, 60 of them, to go abroad to display their art. When they need to go there, they don't pay for their travel from South Africa to ever. They pay for their stay in the places they are visiting, but they now struggle to go, and because also it helps with South Africa or Africa for international relations, enhancing culture. It is something when you for those who follow commentary of tourists who visit, they actually say so much. But that's what we experience as well as a team here. But the department says no, but there's nothing to do with us. We're not going there. So what is arts and culture about? What is DAC about arts and culture? That's the question that comes. But anyway, I just wanted to raise the matter that Babanzi Ndima Wuti. We've got those situations, and our greatest concern is that if that happens, I know that the first person to cry would be my colleague here, and the chairperson would fall immediately, because we'd have failed. We still feel that we fail them as we speak now.
Thank you, Honorable Mashlangu, for that. In fact, it's really actually telling that we need to strengthen our approach and methodology of identifying and also documenting our living heritage, as well as the bearers of that knowledge. I also think that maybe these are the things that we would need to really ensure also that, you know, our strengthening of that approach should also include working very closely with the three spheres of government, you know, at the level of the province, at the level of municipalities, because if we then strengthen that, we will actually be aware of some of the things that are actually happening, very beautiful things that are happening at localities where we might not just be aware of. Then there was an issue, Honorable Mashlangu, which you raised about why participate or why, you know, working with the Department of Human Settlements. Will they be able to do work?
I think you must leave that one.
Yeah. Okay.
The
demon demons. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I then want to move to, we will provide information in terms of the bursaries. I'm sure that my colleague also will be able to then maybe provide information on the bursaries for languages. But maybe just to say that the universities that we work with, we're trying to spread this across the country so that students should not be disadvantaged advantage because they are not in specific cities. So that's why we work with the Northwest University, the UKZN. We have got vets that we work in Rhodes University. The University of Limpopo is part of our list, the University of Zululand, Stellenbosch, UNISA. But we can just provide that information. Salt Blanche, which is a new university in the Northern Cape, Univen, UCT, UP, which is University of Pretoria, UJ, and the University of Western Cape. So we do have that kind of data that we can share with the committee. But also, then coming to the list of persons, also we do have that information that begins now to then say how many, the list that I have here, it's about number of students, which we are looking at 97, and it begins to break it down to say, out of that, how many males are there? For instance, in this case, which is also a very interesting statistics that begins to say, you've got 30 males, but in terms of females, you've got 67. And then, of course, in terms of the population groups, demographics, then you're looking at the colored community, 7, African community, about 84, white community, looking at 5, and then the Indian community is at 1. So that those kinds of statistics, we would make them available to the committee so that there is some indication in terms of how we reach out to the communities out there. And then there was a question also around Adams College. We have supported Adams College in terms of the library. In fact, that library has been completed, and also there was support in terms of looking at the museum. So there is work that has been done, but we can also provide a comprehensive report on that. Honourable Member, so that we do not improvise to you, but we give you a well-documented presentation. I think that the Timbuktu have spoken to, and then I would request colleagues to then speak to various areas of their performance areas. And if there's anything that I might have missed, or one thing that I might have been missing, that was the first question by the chairperson. I think I should have been consistent, chairperson, to say in the not for reporting in the first quarter, throughout, so that there is no confusion about it. But we have noted also the matters that have been raised by both yourself and the Deputy Minister in terms of saying, despite the fact that it was not for reporting, maybe we might just need to indicate that even if it's not for reporting, but this is how far maybe we are going in terms of those particular areas. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Professor Ross, if you can just indicate to us why you choose to pay in August when the students have been there since the beginning of the year. What's the problem?
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and DM. I want to talk to the issue of the Ditso Museum and the Buremark Museum, because we had to regularize, you know, some of the processes. The lease agreement between the Ditso Museum and the Buremark, that lease agreement ended on the 31st March 2013. So they were on a month-to-month contract, and it was picked up by the Auditor General and to say, this is not in line with the supply chain management policy and treasury regulations. So this anomaly had to be regularized. And the song then went on a tender process. And there were three respondents. And the three respondents were also the Buremark itself, Coordinating Concepts, and Pioneers Community Market. Then they responded to the RFP. And then these three service providers were then requested
to do their presentation and the bid adjudication then considered coordinating concepts. And I know that Burema then took Ditsong to court, and there's a court order that I can share with the committee, which then found that Ditsong was above board. I mean, that everything, they had to do it so that they can normalize the anomaly. But also, like you indicated, Honorable Mulder, that what we're getting from Buramak was 312, and between 312 and 442 per annum as an income. But what was going to be offered as an income by the coordinating concepts was 422,000 per annum. Currently, they are still, you know, doing the operationalization so that coordinating concepts can take occupation of the site. But I think it was just to regularize the whole thing, and it was a fair and transparent process. And when they even went to court, that matter was settled. We even had to respond to one of the oral questions on the very same matter. So just to clarify it. But also to allow other participants into the space. On the issue of...
Can I just...
Okay.
No, I understand what you're asking, and I think that all question was for me. The problem that I have is the perception at the moment is that they were chased away and not replaced by anyone, because they say the site has not been used for the last, I don't know how many, 3 months or whatever. So I just want to make sure, this 422, are we going to get it? Are we going to lose it? Because then I don't have an argument anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Coordinating concept is going to take the site honorable month. But we can provide an update from the office. On the issue of the youth development program, Honorable Khutbo, we had one program for youth minds from the youth directorate. So that program was to support the youth minds, and we had those community conversations, those projects that were undertaken. Hence, it's one program under youth minds. So with the various projects under that program. And the issue of the entities, why we say 100% achievement and we exclude PENSAP, I think it's about the discussions that were held regarding the amendment of the legislation and so that PENSAP can then be considered as one of the Chapter 9 institutions. So because they did not even sign Chapter 7, the shareholders' compact with the minister, but there were issues also, like minister indicated, the issues of the egos, that the CEO felt that he was not reporting to the department, and people in the entity were then told not to communicate to the department, and the only person that he could communicate with is the DG, and so forth. So there were those issues that were held. That we had in the department, but then all the other entities managed to sign the shareholders' compact with the minister, and the boards are constituted. But we are in the process now of constituting the board of PENSAP. But I think minister has made it clear that PENSAP needs to report to the Department of Arts and Culture. Like all the other constitutional entities and the Chapter 9, they have a department that they report to. I think from IG, those were the questions.
Just a short follow-up, just for my own clarity. Therefore, it means then that the firing of the board was mainly due to the fact that they were let down an incalcitrant path by the CEO, was Mr. Fenny or whoever he was at the time, because the minister himself has said because the board is highly qualified and people with integrity, but they were led down the wrong path by the then DG or CEO of BanSouth and not making sure that government's mandate as is being has been is being executed or being being delivered on. Okay.
Whoever.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Chair, in her absence, DM, DG. I think I just wanted to reiterate, firstly, what the DG has spoken about in terms of the needs for the strengthening of the project management of the whole NGE funding, and also the tightening of criteria, and the need to ensure that such policy is popularized in such a way that it gets throughout the country and not just in one or two places, which may not be seen by everyone. But I think in addition to that, to making it known to the public what are the priority areas for any particular year, so that the policies and the strategy of the department and the funding policy can work as one. But because I've been acting in this post for a very short time, I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Charles Mabaso, to speak around the, just some of the concerns around community art centres. And also to make mention of market access platforms and incubators. As the another DDG said earlier, we certainly will present the entire list, but I thought that he would just make a, general comments around that. I think we mentioned the market access platforms, incubators, universities, and then Dr. Jokweni will speak around the terminology development. I think both the evidential need, but also, the need to see how that particular program is sort of unfolding. As Honourable Mulder, I think, said, that once you've done it, how do you get it into the public domain and not keep it within an ivory tower? And then I think that we want to concur, because I think there was a criticism implicit when we spoke about the Living Legends Legacy Program. And the criticism implicit is, are we not focusing probably too much on urban areas and not developing our living legends who are outside those domains? I did, I suppose, for the record, message my colleague who is responsible for the Living Legends Legacy Program in the department. He has indicated that, firstly, he said the intention for this quarter was that there would be masterclass programs with Mama Esther Mahlangu and Tate Sam Nzima. So it says it is on his program. And then he also indicated that in Durban in May this year, at one of the sideline sessions of the World Economic Forum in Durban, we also supported Mama Esther Mahlangu, who did a program together with Ardmore Ceramics. The session was entitled Made in Africa for the World. So there is some work being done and work that is going to be done, but I think we accept the criticism that we need to look at this more broadly and not as restricted as it probably has been in urban centres, even in towns, but also go to rural areas. So if I could indicate Mr. Mabaso and Dr. Jokweni on the other issue. Thank you.
Good day, Honourable Chairperson, DM, DG, good morning, and all the honourable members. I'm going to try to respond to all the points that were raised and to mention specifically the names of the projects that we are talking about. I'll start with the flagship projects, that the ones that you say we have five flagship projects done. We are talking about Diamonds and Durance, a
talk about the South African Music Awards, the Cape Town Carnival, the National Arts Festival, and INABOS. INABOS happens in Mpumalanga, National Arts Festival in Grahamstown, and Cape Town Carnival in Cape Town. Summers, they took place in Sun City, and Diamonds Endurance in Northern Cape. With regard to market access, the question that was asked, the three that we've done is IOMA. It is an Indian Ocean music market that takes place in Reunion Island, where we take South African practitioners to go and participate in workshops and discussions around issues facing the music industry in general. We also, on an annual basis, took two South African artists to the Venice Biennale, where they showcase their work sometime around May. And the last one took place in Johannesburg is the one managed by the South African Rodeo Association, the Life Events Technical and Production Conference. We support them over the last years. We've been supporting them to manage that process. With regards to the research documents that we said we have produced, there are two of them. It's a social economic impact on the Cape Town Carnival done by the Cultural Observatory and the Cultural Diplomacy Country Brief. So as part of SAICO, they produce research documents for a year. I think the target is about 23, but you are weak on that. The one that we did not achieve is because, as it indicated, there is an issue of getting a service provider on time. With regards to incubators, the 10 that we talk about, incubators takes place within our entities. It's a long-year program of training. We are working with Artscape, with Market Theatre. They are doing a photographic incubator. Market Theatre, that also they are doing theatre productions. We also work with Playhouse Company, the State Theatre, and the Windy Broad. They do either dance or theatre, but those are the 10 programs, incubator programs that are taking place. With regard to community arts programs, we have done 6, which is the Bad Arts Centre, where we support them. Bad Centre, they are in Durban. We support, give money for programs that are running. We also do the National Children's Theatre Trust, they are based in Johannesburg. And the KCAP Guamashu Community Advanced Projects, they are based in Guamashu. And Morris Isaacson Center in Soweto. And ICTET Art Institute, I think they're also in KZN, if I'm not mistaken. And the last one is the Kulisile Community Upliftment Project. So we provide about 700,000 per year for programs to take place in these community art centers. I want the issue of the Living Legends has been responded to. And with regard to the MGE, what honorable members asked about the call for proposals, where we are, we have agreed that the next round for call for proposals will circulate it. What we have done to date since September, as we may have explained, that we had a backlog of processing all those applications. So we have dealt now with the backlog. About 97 projects have been supported to the tune of 32 million. So those are the projects that were delayed since last year because we were awaiting our environment. But that has been done, and we'll check about the two community projects of Mpumalanga to see whether they're part of that. But I'll confirm with before the end of the day to check their names to make sure that they were in. But I'm not sure. I think those were the issues that were raised. Esther Masangu, Elise has responded, and I'm not sure if there's any other thing that. Thank you.
I think the issue of communication was raised from the first day that we started here. That it doesn't cost a brass penny to say, because there is this problem within the department, we are unable to respond to your proposal or whatever. We said that by this time we will have sorted out the problem. Nyan, please communicate with the people out there. This is all they need for you to say, this is why we are not, we're not responding or whatever. But talk to the people. You can, who
Is it Matilda who's next? Oh.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. I'll just respond to issues that have been raised on terminology, and also there are some issues raised on language basari. On language basari, yes, I'll respond to some of the questions, but notwithstanding the fact that a comprehensive, detailed list of recipients of language basari will be forwarded to the committee. With regard to terminology, Honorable Masangu indicated that these terminologies, once developed, need to be shared with the portfolio committee. And that point, of course, was reiterated by Honorable Mulder to say that the terminologies need to be shared. And, of course, I want to indicate that, yes, there are key stakeholders that these terminologies are shared with. Just to count a few, the national departments, the legal deposit libraries. Libraries are very key in this instance. And also, of course, just to indicate that when some of these terminologies are developed, we keep them in the DAC website, which means that everyone can access them in that website. But over and above that, once developed, some terminologies are printed in hard copies. And apart from the national departments, the libraries, and so on, but we also send them to the portfolio committee through Ajabulile. I think Ajabulile can attest to the fact that he has received some of them, if he has. But then also going forward, to the libraries, I think there was a specific question from Honorable Fordun to say what are the universities that, which are the universities that have received this bursary. The bursary is awarded in a 3-year cycle. I'll just mention the current ones, which are 6 universities, because the question was specific about those, that is Nelson Mandela University, the University of the Western Cape, the University of the Witwatersrand, UNISA, and Northwest. But like as I said, that it is offered in 3-year cycle. Of course, some universities have benefited, and those can be listed in the detailed account that will be given in the form of a report. But I can mention that universities such as Walter Sisulu University, University of Zululand, Free State, UJ, and so on have benefited previously in the previous cycles. And then coming also to the issue of transferring the language bursary in late, Honorable Chair, I want to indicate that for the language bursary, the transfers are done in the very first quarter. So we will really transfer them as early as possible, that is, which is actually the beginning of the financial year for the department. But also, I want to indicate that when it comes to reporting, yes, everybody who has talked about reporting is correct. For the purposes of the department, we do provide reports, that is, for each and every quarter. But the reporting that is reported here, which says in the third quarter, pertains to the target, which is in the what you call annual performance plan. So, but there are many other factors that come to play when it comes to the awarding of the bursaries. The report that we get from the university, which stipulates exactly who and how many students have been awarded these bursaries, comes in the third quarter. And the reason for that, amongst others, is the fact that the AG is very clear about when can we count a student as a recipient of the bursary. According to AG, a recipient of a bursary can only be mentioned to be a recipient provided that there is proof of the registration and there is the proof of the transfer of the money to the student account, and there is a proof of the contract between the university and the student. So those are the authentic things that need to be in place before the names and the number of students can be listed, which is the reason why most of these, I mean, this report comes from the university in the third quarter, because by that time they have had enough space and time to administer, taking into consideration all those factors that I have mentioned. So in short, in a nutshell, the money is transferred early in the financial year, not very late, Honorable Chair. And the terminology is shared, as I have already indicated. So I think I will pause there. Thank you.
How long does it take to establish that this student is registered in this university? How long does that take? A week, a month, a year?
According to the report that we get from the university, they give us a comprehensive report when they have fully awarded the student the bursary. Because like Chair, as I indicated earlier, AG requires that the universities can only mention students that have their money transferred to their accounts, that have signed the contract. And the reason why we transfer this money early in the year, that is at the beginning of the financial year of government, is because the universities are being afforded enough time and space to do the groundwork and do the administrative process, which includes all those things that I have mentioned. By the time they give this report, which is embedded in their contract, which is in September, is only when they are sure that they have this number of students. But also another thing that I need to mention here, which is very important, is that the 330, the 320 that we are talking about here, which is the target, in actual fact, that target is the minimum number of students. The bursary is distributed to students in such a way that we can get as many students as possible. And the reason why we have 320 is to ensure that we don't get less than that number, but we can get as many as possible. That is the intention of the department. So because the reason why we know that we can get more is because the students' needs vary. They vary from student to student, from university to university. So basically, much as universities receive this money, they do not award the same amount of money to each and every student. They award this bursary according to the needs of that particular student. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I think mine is only two here. There was a question from Honorable Rosebaum regarding the 95% of service uptime. And we've got the target as 95 throughout the year, so that we need to make sure that any time of the year we keep, or any time we keep the service in terms of emails and the network and all that, at the 95%. If we there is no connection, or we experience problems with our IT, that will fall within the 5%. So we allow ourselves the 5% for that, which is a norm in terms of IT. So you need to make sure that you are within the 95% throughout. And this is why we report it like that every quarter. And so whether, and I'm sure the next one will be different, looking at the fact that we're relocating and we experience a lot of downtime at that time. So it will be, I think it will be different. And the vacancy rate, I think Honorable Bilangul asked the question around where are we now with the vacancy rate. We're currently sitting at 2.77, and I think the previous one we reported as at the end of June was about 2.56. Yeah, but we're currently sitting at 2.77. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
You can come in.
I'm sorry, I now, you know, in hindsight, I now realize that there's a question that I did not respond to from Honorable Ford Wong about ID. Yes, Honorable Ford Wong, what we are trying to resolve now with IDT is how do we deal with matters of payments? But there is no intention at all to continue working with them. So we're now looking at the areas where we also feel that we're overcharged, and we're discussing all those things. But in terms of them actually proceeding with work, no. That's why we wouldn't have gone for the alternative route had we still thinking of working with them. I just thought that they clarified. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As you are about to respond, CFO, there is a question that I have marked here that I didn't ask. On page 36-37, you have money that is going to be paid. 40 million was incurred at that time. The bulk of transactions relates to Africa Month and MGE project. And on page 37, public corporations, Africa Month is featuring here. Can you tell us exactly how much went to Africa Month? Is it the 65 million that is shown here? Or what is actually happening there?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and DM. Let me start by apologizing for the 76,000, which was shown as the 76 rand on the slide. But coming back on the question you have just raised now, Honorable Chair, if you look at the report you are looking at, is where we classify transaction in terms of the item level, at item level. So the first item you raise is about public corporation. So there is an item that if it's a public corporation, we need to pay under that particular item, that name, public corporation. And for a different beneficiary, you'll find that is an NGO or an NPO. Then you pay under the item non-profit institution. All of them are current payments, but because of their nature of registration of those particular entities, in terms of payment, are classified differently. I do not have the total amount we pay specifically for MG for Africa Month, but we can make that report available. Then it seems my colleague has got the figure for what we have spent for Africa Month in terms of the transfers.
And tell us exactly what was paid for. What did we buy with that money that we paid during Africa Month? What did we buy with that money? If you're saying that we paid only for Tom this much, this is what she did.
I just want to check with my colleague if they've got the details now of all the breakdown of the payment for the Africa Month. And
thanks. I'm checking, but I know the total expenditure, it was 25 million. The projects were about, I think, 81, but I'll check here. And it was different projects that were happening throughout the country. But I'll quickly check the report because we have it here.
I'll request that we go to slide 27. So that I explain some of the questions based on the slide 27. If we look at slide 27, there was an issue raised about the 709%.
There you can see that the budget for the first 3 months is 3 million. But if you go further down, as I was explaining, there is a budget for building and other fixed structures at 31 million. That is why I was explaining that that 21 million, in terms of account actual spending, is seated in the right account, which is heritage asset. This item, when the budget was implemented in the E&E document, this item was not there. But in the new current financial year, in terms of financial reporting, they created a special item, which is heritage asset. And I was saying, by that time, the budget has been allocated. And in order to correct that, that money is sitting under building and other fixed structures. So we have applied for the shifting of funds, and the over expenditure will be corrected in that process. And there was also a question raised about the issue of the MEF. And if we look at the item of departmental agencies, is the one I highlighted on slide 36. In that 432 million, we include in that budget for 479, it includes the allocation for National Empowerment Fund, because even though it is not our entity, it is part of our transfers to that particular public entity. So the allocation is already part of the 80% that we say is going outside the department. It's not new money that is voted that was gonna spend inside the department then transferred, but it was already part of the transfers to the public entities, so including national empowerment, which was not done, as I indicated, that there is still some backlog in terms of reporting for the money that has been transferred in the previous financial year. Can I clarify this issue of the 80%, because it's not only the public entities of the department. Maybe it was not clarified, because in the 80%.
Honourable members, what do you understand about this 80%? Am I the only one who
I request to clarify that the 80% is about money transferred out of the department, not necessarily for the public entity. So in the 80%, there is an allocation of public entities, there is an allocation of the conditional libraries, and there is also an allocation for other transfers for MGE project, because MGE project is not goods and services. It's when the department receives proposals and transfer money to the particular beneficiaries that can be. That is how the 80% is transfers that are spent outside the department, not necessarily that all the 80% is the public entity, but if the public entity is part of the 80%.
Can you give us a breakdown? That
this amount goes to entities, this amount goes to people who are not entities, agencies, or whatever you call it. So-and-so is getting this much, so-and-so is getting that much. Can we get this breakdown?
We have it, Chair. It's just as you are, we are trying to explain it, you can see that the 1.4... 27. Yes. Chair, if you look at our allocation, 232 million plus 409, that is the funds that are spent within the department. And the rules below, all of them is transfers. So you can see that only about 628 is going to be spent by the department. The rest of the 4.4 is spent outside the department. Yeah, that's where it's actually 83% of the budget. Yes. Yeah, that's how it is allocated. Yeah, I want to check if there's any other question that I've missed. I think Mr. Ndima addressed the issue of IDT.
They keep picking from the family.
Vote to the final, the vote is final with IDT.
Yeah. I can perhaps say so.
I had raised questions on page 33. And the question is, what was, sorry, Julie, checking, I was still checking, check. If you can go to slide 33. So column A is your allocation for the conditional library. And then you've got the next column I can call is your total allocation to the library, to the provinces for the library conditional grant. So the question that you ask is about the percentage, the 18%, how does it come into play, and the 11%. So in terms of the transfer to the provinces, the cash flow is determined by the business plan that they have submitted to the department, which the department have agreed with the provinces in terms of the cash flow projection. So if you look per province, some of the province, the first transfer is almost 25%, but some of them are even far below because the transfers are based on the projection as per the business plan. But the 18% is an average of the total amount that has been transferred compared to the 1.4 billion. That is, you are 256 divided by the 1.4.
And
this is a planning question. And the question is, when you are planning for a financial year in question, your plan is that your first quarter, you were going to be transferring 18%. Was it 18% or was it 25%? So it's more of a planning question, because what it then says is, as you progress towards the end of the year, at what is there no likelihood that you'll underspend by virtue of the fact that you are unable to spend 25% when you are actually 25% in the year. I think that's the basis of the question, in a way.
Yeah, yes, through you, Honorable Chair. Yes, the plan was to transfer 18%. As I was explaining, that this 18% is an average of all the provinces. But if you look, some provinces have requested more than, and this is according to their business plan. And some of the province will be requesting incrementally per quarter because we only transfer four times. And the
the cash flow from our side is already determined that by the end of the financial year, we have transferred 100% to the provinces. However, perhaps the challenge can be at the provincial level, where, for example, in the first quarter they spend 162. Perhaps there might be challenges for them to spend all the money that we have transferred. But on our side, in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, we are supposed to transfer in terms of that business plan that have been approved between themselves and the national department. And all these years, we've been transferring 100%, but as per the approved business plan. However, the challenge has always been that at provincial level, sometimes there is a slow spending in some other areas that we need to, you know, constantly be checking with the provinces how far they are spending their allocation.
And I raise this question almost every year. The problem with this whole approach is that, first of all, from my point of view, it's a bit flawed-ish, in the sense that you can't plan as a department. You say, okay, whereas everything else, our plan is that we will have almost a 25% expenditure. First quarter, second quarter 50, 75 and 100 the last quarter. But allow for a very huge amount of your budget, which constitute more than close to 30% of your budget allocation, and say, well, we will be flexible on this one, 18%, and then go to the physical expenditure, 11%. So it's actually 10% of the 100% that you're supposed to be spending. So I'm just saying it's a planning question. And now, look, we're just lucky that South Africa is experiencing drought. But if we actually were experiencing your normal seasonal rains, you would have serious problems in expenditure. Because these are physical infrastructure delivery. You're building a physical structure. When it's rainy season, those monies will not go. Hence, at the end of the year, you are faced with a problem where monies have not been spent adequately. I'm just saying, we cannot continue like this. It is just a wrong execution of a plan, and it is a problem. And I think something that the department needs to work very hard to correct. You see, you know that 2018-19, you will have these libraries to build. Surely, by August, September this year, you should already be knowing Uguti. Projects are going to start, kickstart in February, because your first tranche to them will be in April, so that they can start to spend those monies come month one in the financial year. I mean, that's just an argument that we are raising, that it doesn't augur very well for spending, I mean, for planning purposes. But I'm just saying, the reason why look at one department is planned 1%, and the department is comfortable. They needed to spend 3, they spend 1. It's fine. It's supposed to spend whatever they spend, whatever, 5%, and it doesn't really, because the comfort that I find in the CFO can actually say, what you would find towards the end of the year would be a fiscal dumping if we fast track, if there's a process that we finally are able to fast track that process. But as a financial execution, it should worry them, Uguti, physically, the delivery that we had announced even in the programs of government that we will be delivering on this thing. The way we are just taking it very easy. Libraries are very important projects. For us, it is the only physical project that we have in this portfolio that is merged outside your heritage projects. This is one project that can change the lives of the people. And therefore, for DEC, I think it would be very crucial that this is one project that is prioritized, that come each year, libraries delivery kicks in at the very initial, what I call, of the year. Because if we have good seasons, rain seasons, come September, October, November, December, January, February, which is the rainy season, you would not be in a position to deliver. And it is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, before we end our term by 2019, that thing would happen in big time. Because this is your only time. Your building time is actually ending in August. But yeah, it's fine.
Honorable Chair, that is one of the areas we agreed to the team. Firstly, we said we'll create a template where the provinces must report on the money transferred to them on projects, stage by stage, so that we can be able to know whether these projects are being executed in the first place and what is the stage of each of these projects. But most importantly, that we will then also, because we must determine whether this money should be sitting on our books when it's meant for them. Because at this stage, they are comfortable because the money is not showing that they are underspending, but it's like we are the ones. And the issue was that how do you take a risk and transfer the whole money at once based on the total cost of their project, business case? Or do you transfer as per when they say they need to pay? So, and if you do so, sometimes provinces, because it's a concurrent function, you'll find that they will divert the money somewhere else and you do not, and then able to get it. But if you pay it as and when they say this structure has reached a roof level, then pay us. You are able to say, okay, I'm paying for something that is happening. But we agreed that we're going to review the strategy and approach on how to transfer, how to monitor the projects, and how then to get the reporting from the provinces to hold them accountable in relation to that. But that is a concern that was already we taken care of there. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, Honourable Masango, I'm happy that these things are being raised by the portfolio committee. Because sometimes when you raise those things as a deputy minister, you in the department, you see. Because the issue of libraries is one of my responsibilities that has been given to myself. I remember the first meeting of the cabinet that I attended after being redeployed. Minister Mutsega said to the president, President, before the start of the meeting, I would like to thank you for Deputy Minister Soyu, precisely because of the issues of my library. And she further said to the president, we have a draft, a memorandum of understanding that was supposed to be signed between ourselves and the department. But so far, we are still seated with that. But we will engage the deputy minister in that regard. And that time when she was saying this, I didn't have an idea about the budget. How does it work to provinces? Hence, when I started here, I spoke about monitoring. Because I visited some few of these public libraries in some of the provinces. The situation is bad. It's bad, I just want to concur with yourselves and say that the monies that are sent for these libraries, we need to do something as a department to make sure that we don't wait for you to go there. Then when you come back, you fight with the department.
Sorry, sir.
If yesterday I said to my head of office, I've just read an article in the News 24. The heading was The Madman Library the shack in the Free State, Honorable Mongi, in the Free State. But the name that was attached to this madman is a person that I know that is one of us, that is a comrade from exile. Now, my interest was about the mad and the library. And then I read the article a day before yesterday. I read the article, and luckily this article had a picture of this sheikh, the back room. It's a library, understand? Yeah. The stuff that are there in the is just amazing, understand? And the article further says that this person is even helping our students for the assignment. They sit there, help them with their assignment, especially the matriculants. In some instances where they need books that he can't afford to have those books, he will always make a plan to get these books for Lama student Ake. And then I phoned my office because I was in Bloemfontein when I read this article. I immediately phoned my office. I said, Nomsa, can you please go into News 24? Read that article. I don't see Ubani editor. Try to get the editor so that you can get the information. Where is that in the Free State? So that I can go there, you understand, yeah? And find out what is happening. Taking the MEC with me, of course, you understand, yeah? And see what is it that we can do. I received a response yesterday night from my office saying that we got hold of that information that you wanted. Firstly, indeed, this individual is in hospital, in a mentally disturbed, understand? And there was a number, you know, that was given to me. And then I called this number, and I introduced myself, you know. And luckily, those are people that knows me. But because Asiko accessible and all those things, they didn't know how to get hold of me, understand? And when I spoke to them, seeing that the challenge also becomes out of frustration. Hence, people got themselves where they are today. So I have committed that I will be visiting that sheikh in that township, because the picture that I saw, you know, as much as we don't agree with some of the issues, the media, but in some instances, since Mina, I joined this department, there is a lot of things that I picked up because of the media. You understand? So this is one of the things that was picked up as well. Then I will promise you, Honor of Master Wenchae, and members of the portfolio committee, that I will visit that as early as next week, so that I engage the department and say maybe there is a lot of them, because that's a public library, because each and every school child goes there because they know that they'll get assistance there. But we as government, because we don't know about it. So I just wanted to highlight, which is, even in the coming MINMEC, we'll be having a MINMEC within a week from now. This is one area that I said I'm going to raise with the provincial embassies, the issues of the libraries. 2 weeks ago, I attended a conference in, what is that, in Poland. Yeah, in Poland, on issues of the public libraries. And because I'm from South Africa, and you have our entities that will give a beautiful report about what we are doing in South Africa. So it wouldn't have been very professional for me to stand up and say that, but what they are saying is not what is happening. But after that, I engaged them. I confronted them and asked them, do you visit this library? Or are you just giving them this? It was the same response. The money is being given to the provinces, you understand? And then my question to them was, the department is giving a certain grant to them. To the provinces. You are saying that you have this foundation which also gives money to the provinces. Do you go to the provinces and monitor? Is there anything that you get from that? And the response gave, you know, yeah. So that's why I'm saying that it seems as if we have a huge task as the department to make sure. And Chair, when I was right here, for instance, I was saying that some few years ago when I occupied a seat like that, one of yours, there was something that was called a money bill, where the portfolio committee had the powers to intervene. when there was a shortage of money in order for us to be able to do some of these programs. Because you mentioned a lot of things that needed funding. Even the numbers of Imbizo that you said, that why 20 Imbizo? I didn't hear anyone responding to that. Why 20 Imbizo blah, and all those things here? But I know that there are some times, not only from the Department of Agriculture, even other departments where I come from. There they will say that, no, the first quarter you have exceeded your number of Imbizo because of the fact that monies are attached to this Imbizo. Now I'm saying that if the department can convince the portfolio committee that there is a willing from ourselves to do 1, 2, 3, 4, but the problem that we have is funding, I'm sure that the portfolio committee can intervene. But if we can convince you, if we come with underspending now and expect that we'll be able then to convince her that we need more funding. Because when I'm seated, I know that there were times that I convinced in my previous life as a portfolio committee and said that no. If we want in the Bayama sector, policing in seven, then we have to need to give more policing. Here is the program of the sectors. Here is the budget for that. But this budget is not enough for that. The national treasurer, obviously, then. But I'm saying, if funding your lapa in line like a call, but we can't convince you. Because if you are given a 2 rand, good one, say this one was supposed to be 2 rand, was I was running a 10 rand. Because to be honest, not by what this money is in a call, but if we can't convince you that the smaller amount that you have, we can do something, and then it becomes a problem.
That's what the M convince us, so that we convince other people. If you can't convince us, we can't convince other people. So what you are saying is very important, and the manner in which the department is working presently needs a lot of work to be done, so that we see that you're planning and you're implementing and you're spending the money that is given to you. But on the library issue, there are no libraries, but you find a library that was identified by the Free State a province where there are no people, you know. There are no libraries where there are people, but you find a library in an area where people are just, you know, which is going to be a ghost library. So I think those are some of the issues that we need to look at. It's time for lunch now. If there are no... Honorable Melden?
No, because it's lunch, I don't need to answer. I just need a nod. My war museum was not mentioned, and I understand that. All I want to say is that this portfolio committee, after you visited there, made a recommendation to say they must not become a stepchild, because we need some formula how money is allocated. Because some, you remember that was our recommendation, because some got a lot more than the others, and there's no real criteria where you can measure it against. So all I need that they are sensitive to that, and that they'll give it and hopefully help them as well, seek your support.
The issue that is being raised by Honorable Melder is the issue that we've raised from day one, that we need to have a funding model. You know, how do you reach, you know, a decision that this amount is going to this entity? So we really need that, because we don't want to depend on your good heart. We want to depend on a system, want to depend on a model that is going to ensure that people get what they deserve. Let's break for lunch, and we're coming back at 2. The meeting is adjourned until 2 o'clock.